Coming to you on Blog Talk Radio out of the great state of, I'm not going to tell you where the state is. Just let y'all figure that one out. But what's going on, Peace? What's happening? What's going on? How you been? Hope you thank God for being here today. And we got a show for you, man. I'm telling you, this today's midweek wrap-up, I'm telling you, it's, man, I got, boy, we got some things to talk about today. We really do. And you know, it's so much to talk about, man. I really have no idea where we're going to start at, because we have, oh, man. Just so much. It's so much we need to discuss. It is. And we're going to get, I'm telling you, I'm going to try my hardest to get to everything that I plan to talk about today. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. We got to go full overtime. That's what we're going to do, because we need to talk about everything. You know, we got yesterday, at the end of yesterday's show, if those went back and listened to the archives, you know, we got into a great conversation, you know, about the male-female relationship and, you know, how we treat each other and what we expect from each other. And I said we're going to continue that today, because whoo, man, I'm telling you, that's some good stuff. And so we're gonna get back on that today. But there are also some things, other things that we need to talk about. You know, we need to talk about the Supreme Court upholding Michigan's ban on affirmative action. You know, we got to talk about that. I mean, because that plays into what we were discussing yesterday. We also need to discuss the U.S. sending 600 troops to Eastern Europe, you know. Oh, Lord. In support of NATO. Now, you know, we got to talk about that, too, because it's more of that's going on than they want you to know. All right? And it's just crazy, man. It's crazy. And whatever else we need to talk about. I mean, there's so much going on. I had a hard time choosing what we were going to open the show with. You know what I mean? Oh, really? Wow. That's scary, because I was just looking at it today. All right. Oh, man. That's crazy. All right, well, I bet they won't. You know, I have some links in the chat room. You know, as far as when we starting off talking about affirmative action, And, you know, my chat room coordinator just told me that my links are, the links I put in are no longer available, which is very interesting, being that I just did upload them just before I came on the air. So that's 30 minutes before I came on the air. So that's very interesting, you know, to have they pulled them that fast. Now, we was talking about it yesterday, weren't we? You know, it's one of those things where are they pulling them that fast? Makes you really wonder, huh? I know. It makes you really wonder. But anyway, you get to hear them anyway. Since you can't look at the videos, you get to hear all three of them, all right? So I got them. They uploaded. And so all I got to do is click the button, and we off and running. I want to say give a shout-out to my chat room, Antoinette. She's my chat room coordinator. Hey, sweetheart. Then, of course, we got Divine Design, who has some good news today. Yay! Oh, great. That is so great. Let me give you some applause on that one. I'm happy for you, Divine. Wish you, wish you much success. Of course, we got Granny Guns in the house. Then we got guest 10-0-1-9-8 Trey. And then, of course, we got the Robert M. Barber Show in the chat room also. And we got a couple of people on the switchboard already, ready to get rocking and rolling. So it's all good in the woods, man. I'm telling you, it's all good in the woods. And we ready to get hot and popping. No, there's no song of the day today. There's no quote of the day. You know, quote of the day, if you really want a quote of the day, here's a quote of the day. Laugh at yourself. Okay, just stop and laugh at yourself. I'm sure there's something you've done that you can think about to make you laugh at yourself, because we do crazy stuff like that. Sometimes I laugh at myself just being on this show, trying to be a host. Yeah, I have to laugh at myself sometimes because I don't know what sometimes I think I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, Granny Gunn said, well, can I get a tune so I can shake my shimu? Oh, Granny. You know, I wish I had something lined up right now. But we'll see if we can't get you in there, okay? We're going to see if we can't fit something. We're gonna see if we can't get something that's going to make you rock a little bit, all right, later on in the show. I promise you that, okay? We're going to have something for you to rock with later on in the show. All right. Well, I guess I've talked enough now, and I guess it's time for us to go on and get on with the first topic I want to talk about. And it is the Supreme Court upholding Michigan's ban on affirmative action. Now, you know, whenever you hear affirmative action, most people think, how can I put it? Easy way for black folk to get into places. You know, they're taking the place of more qualified individuals and what have you. That's what most people think. Let's be honest. You say affirmative action, they think black. You know I'm not telling a lie, because I'm telling the truth. I see you out there, 414. I'm going to get you in. Just want to let you know I'm not ignoring you. But I got to get to a certain part for the show first, okay? You know, they think of that. But it's interesting because there's actually another group that's benefiting from affirmative action than the African-American. So, you know, once again, it's that thing that you think the government is worried about you. Heck no, they're not worried about you. You're the least of their worry right now. There's another group that's coming up that they're worried about, and they're using affirmative action also in their own little network. And it's really beginning to show. So now something needs to be done. You know, first we had the African Americans. Well, we got them under control now. We do. You know, we putting a lot of them in prison over craziness, which, I mean, see, that's something else we need to talk about. You know, that's something else we need to talk about, but we ain't gonna get to that part yet. You know, because there was they're pushing a law to release some prisoners, you know, that's been jailed on drug charges. But we'll talk about that in another show. But you know, government don't care about us. We are the least of their worries, and that's the truth. They could care less because we really do not matter anymore. And once we get that in our brains, I think we can make some things happen. But long as there's those of us that really think that our government really cares about the African American and the poor, it ain't gonna work. That's why they didn't worry about affirmative action. But when this other group started coming up, now here's the problem with that. If this other group is coming up, and we talk about this on the show. We talk about them on the show all the time. They have their own network. They have their own resources. They have their own businesses. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. But see, nobody thinks about them in affirmative action. That's right. Nobody thinks about them. All right, I'm going to quit running my mouth. And, goodness. Okay, I'm going to quit running my mouth about this, and I'm going to play these three clips for you. Altogether, about 11 minutes total. But I'm going to play these three clips. And then when we get finished, I'm going to come back. We're going to discuss it. I'm going to open up the phone lines, and we can get rocking and rolling talking about what's going on, okay? All right, so I'll see y'all on the other side of these clips. Here we go!
For decades, minority groups living in the United States have been given preferential treatment or special consideration when applying to college. But in one U.S. state, voters decided that the so-called affirmative action policy should end. The ensuing argument escalated and went all the way to the nation's top court. Steve Handelsman reports for CCTV from Washington.
In a referendum in 2006, 58% of Michigan voters approved amending the state constitution to ban any consideration of race in public college admissions and public employment. At the Supreme Court, the six-justice majority upheld that process. Justice Anthony Kennedy writing, "This case is not about how the debate about racial preferences should be resolved. It's about who may resolve it." The court did not rule on the constitutionality of affirmative action, but opponents are still celebrating.
Well, we live in a time with a black president, a black attorney general, when to make the kind of claims that people are being discriminated against and being prevented from entering into positions in a university or a job at a hospital or a public employment project simply no longer makes sense.
The NAACP says affirmative action is still needed.
Segregation and racial inequality exist throughout this country. In housing, we see it in employment, we see it in schools. And so that is something that must be addressed.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor agreed, saying judges ought not sit back and wish away racial inequality. And she said of the Michigan referendum, democratically approved legislation can still oppress minority groups. Eight states now ban consideration of race in admissions and hiring, and more states are now expected to ban it. At the University of Michigan, since the ban took effect, black enrollment and Latino enrollment have dropped. From Washington, I'm Steve Handelsman for CCTV.
So the Supreme Court just made a ruling upholding the state of Michigan's prerogative to not have affirmative action in their schools. In fact, let me quote the Associated Press here. In a 6-2 ruling, Michigan voters, they said, had the right to change their state constitution to prohibit public colleges and universities from taking account of race in admissions decisions. Now, we're considered generally a progressive show, and so you might think that I'm outraged by this decision, but not only am I not outraged by it, I agree with it. I think the voters of Michigan do have a right to make that decision. They made that decision. And by the way, further, so that's the constitutional issue. On the policy issue, I generally agree with the voters of Michigan. I think that affirmative action was actually incredibly important in the beginning. Now, anybody who argued against affirmative action, for the first however many decades, two decades, three, four, five decades, I think was wrong. Because it's oh, well, let's be colorblind. Well, that's easy for white folks to say at the time because they had all the jobs. So if you wanted to break into being a cop, being a firefighter, break into the union, into a contractor position or a white-collar position, well, all those jobs belong to white people. So we had to have a way to at least give minorities in this country a fair chance at those jobs. We did for a long time. I now think we've gotten to the point where it does minorities more harm than good to continue to apply affirmative action. Because I've seen in my whole lifetime, unfortunately, the other side of that equation where I've seen different Americans, and not all right-wing, not all conservative, go, oh, yeah, yeah, they just got that because of affirmative action. So it unfortunately discredits the great work and accomplishments of so many minorities that I now think that the scales have been tipped, and to be fair, I've thought that for a long time, and that it's doing a little bit more harm than good, even though it was absolutely necessary in the beginning. Now, I think it's fair to disagree about that, and I think that different states are should be allowed to vote any way they like. But I will also add that generally right-wingers and who happen to be mainly white that have been pushing for this decision ought to be careful what they wish for. So let me show you what has happened in the states that they have lifted affirmative action on. Now, in California, that is an incredibly confusing chart, but what you see there is, especially among undergraduates at the very right-hand side, that when they lifted affirmative action, the number of whites in the schools did not increase, they decreased. In fact, for the undergraduates, Asians have caught them, if not passed them. Oops. It turns out when you just look at test scores and grades, the group that does best in this country is not white people at all. In fact, they do substantially worse. It's Asians who do the best. I like them apples. So if you think that's an interesting case study, now in California, they're not allowed to give a thumb on the scale of race, but they do consider other things like socioeconomic background, et cetera. So that those charts that you just looked at are not as skewed as they could be if all they did was look at test scores. Well, that is what they do in some New York high schools, including Stuyvesant. So let's take a look at Stuyvesant and see how that worked out. When you just look at test scores, how do they do? Well, okay, we've got 9 black students, so overall in 2013, not great. 24 Latino students. Oh, wow, all those white students are a lot more, 177. Oops, 620 Asian students. White folks, how do you like affirmative action now? My guess is all of a sudden, like, wait, did we say we were against affirmative action? I mean, look, look, we need an even playing field here. These Asians, I mean, I don't know, it's not fair to compete against them. We need an even playing field. The Supreme Court, we changed our mind. Please, please, please bring affirmative action back. Well, it turns out when you look at affirmative action, you certainly don't get the diversity that we normally are used to in this country, and that is a significant issue. And I think that affirmative action for socioeconomic background is actually really important, probably the right way to go going forward. So if you were born in a position where you're economically disadvantaged, whether you're white, Asian, black, Latino, then I think it's fair to say, hey, listen, they had a harder time, and let's take that into account, okay? But if you just want to do it on test scores, white right-wingers, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
I want to go back to our Fox News alert because moments ago voters, the U.S. Supreme Court made a decision now on a case that's been, in fact, waiting for some time now. The Supreme Court issued its decision on race in college admissions. This case came out of Michigan. The court ruled that the state does not have to use race as a factor. In fact, it said voters could change its constitution to prohibit schools from taking race into account. What's the impact on this? Emily Tisch Sussman, campaign director for the Center for American Progress Action Fund, rather. Morning to you, Emily.
Hi, good morning.
And David Webb, SiriusXM radio host and a Fox News contributor. David, good morning to you as well.
Good
David,
morning,
I know
Bill.
You've covered the story quite a bit on radio. What is the impact of this 6-2 ruling?
It's significant. Even with Justice Kagan recused, what we have is a 6-2 decision that says that we have got to end discrimination which is what affirmative action has become in large part. At a time in our country when there needed to be a change coming out of civil rights, there was a short period for affirmative action, but now it has become a tool, especially with the state institutions in Michigan, of denying access to Americans based on ethnic identity. This is a good decision. It is a needed decision upholding the Sixth Circuit Court initial decision, so therefore Michigan can finally move forward.
Well, when it comes to affirmative action, I mean, this was the case that everybody has been waiting on. Emily, what do you believe? I mean, in the early stages of digesting this decision, what's the effect? What's the impact?
Look, so we'll see more once we see the actual decisions and once we see the actual opinions. But I would actually disagree with David on the fact that this is a massive ruling on the substance of the issue. Even though it was 6-2, the judges were saying that there's different reasons for upholding the law. And let's look at what the actual challenge was. If this is not the substance on whether affirmative action is legal or not legal for a state to be using, the voters of Michigan had gone to the ballot. So it's a matter of whether it is okay for the voters to take strip away the state's ability to use this in state universities on the ballot, right? So it's sort of similar to the way the Prop 8 decision was in California. Is it okay for the voters to go to the ballot on the issue? And so the court ruled that it is okay for the voters to go to the ballot to decide this issue.
And the three microphones, one of them is being used by me now. What the court said, you're right about that, Emily, that voters could change the Constitution if they wanted. They also said the lower court was wrong, David, when it set aside this case as discriminatory, as discrimination. How do you add that now into the equation as you evaluate?
Well, it goes along with the comment that about the voters. The voters get to choose because our society has advanced. And even Sandra Day O'Connor said that there was a time limit on this. Other justices have said this, that there's a time when affirmative action needs to go away. Our society has advanced. There is access for all. And we need to get back to a point of true fairness, which is competitiveness on the merits. Again, back to the voters, back to the American people,
okay,
and our right to choose.
All right, Emily, I cut you off. Go.
It's quite all right. I think our argument goes to the fact that this is a very live debate in this country. The court did not decide if it is discrimination to still use race as a factor helping minorities get in. This is based on a long history that we've had in this country of not providing the same opportunities for all people and all races. Specifically, it is not that far in our future to get the same opportunities to go to college. And also, I mean, the ruling case on this issue is also in Michigan. Michigan is apparently hot ground for all of this. But saying that, you know, it is not just a benefit to the minority students who are allowed in. It is a benefit to the university. It is a benefit to everybody to have diversity in the classroom.
It is history, and it is past. America is not the America it was in the 60s. We're in 2014. We've changed. A woman was the focal point of this case initially and of other cases. So we've got to look at this for where we are as a country. Again, the justice
David,
has decided
would you,
to go.
Yeah, do you expect voters in Michigan to go after changing the state constitution? Do we know that answer yet?
I don't think we know the answer, but I expect that there will be a significant effort to make the Constitution reflect the societal changes where we are as a very, very progressive, let's use that term, and very modern society
right,
in America.
Okay. Emily, I'll give you the last word.
I do love David calling it a progressive society, but I think that also means that we need to be honest about where people are starting compared to what opportunities they have and what those opportunities mean for them and creating an equal playing field.
Equal outcome doesn't exist, but equal opportunity does exist in America. That is the reality.
Thanks to both of you, David Webb, Emily Tisch Sussman. Thanks for the debate today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Those were three clips on the Supreme Court ruling upholding Michigan's ban on affirmative action. Now, the guy named David, he said something very interesting at the end. You know, he says there's no such thing as equal outcome, but equal opportunity. Now, you know, I'm looking at that. But really, is there really equal opportunity? Since he believes that we live in a progressive and modern age, is there really equal opportunity? You know, I think that's what a lot of people would like for us to believe, or would like to believe. you know, it's 2014, and we have progressed so much to, you know, it's everything is okay. Everything is okay. Well, if there can be equal opportunity, why can't there be equal outcome? Or is that just a figment of the imagination? You know what I mean? And I'm just brainstorming right now, so it's interesting. You know, another question is, just because we have a black president and a black attorney general, does that make everything okay? Does that make affirmative action unneeded right now? You know, does it make it not inadequate, but is it not needed anymore? Should we just basically go on face value of that person? Now, once again, as the guy on the Young Turks, you know, that was an interesting thing also. You know, because as he stated, you know, the people actually right now benefiting and taking over from affirmative action is not the black. Not the whites, not the Hispanics, not the Latinos, it's the Asians. Why is that? Let's see, just an equal opportunity doesn't mean equal outcome, Eric. Think about it. And that's my point. And why not? If it's equal in opportunity, why can't we have equal outcome? Oh, I forgot, because humans work this thing, right? And everybody's not equally thinking the same route. Everybody's not equally the same color. Everybody's not equally educated the same. Duh! I had to get it in there, man. I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, and Judge Sotomayor, she had a 58-page response to this thing. And basically, what it said was, regardless of how y'all word it, what you think about it, race does still matter. It does. And if you don't believe me, just take, hey, I know somebody's going to get mad at me for this, but oh well. It's simple. If you don't believe it, look at what's going on right up there in the White House with Congress. Race matters. Hell, I was reading an article the other day in the New York Times where somebody said the president manhood needs some manhood, need to be a man. Really? And you don't think race really matters? Nobody ever said George Bush needed to be a man. Ain't nobody said Clinton needed to be a man. Jimmy Carter. Let me stop. I'm just getting carried away, and y'all just going to let me keep going, right? All right. You're going to learn today. Gotta go. Oh, wow. All right, anyway, I got two individuals on the line, so let me bring them in, and we're going to carry on this conversation. I love y'all, because y'all just let me do and say anything, whether it makes sense or not. Oh, shut up, Joe. So does talent and brains and dedication, that's why there are different outcomes. Well, Joe, you know what? You know how many different talented people with brains and dedication that's living on the street right now today? See what I'm saying? So does it take brains and dedication? Why are they on the street, Joe? Okay, let me shut up again. I'm sorry. Our economy sucks because they haven't been given even the equal opportunity to come up and have equal outcome. That's what I'm talking about, Joe. Thank you for making my case. I gotcha. Anyway, let me bring up area code 414 in and area code 313. Welcome to the show, and I hope y'all got something good for me because I'm hyped and I'm ready to get it going. So good afternoon, who am I talking with, and let's make it happen.
Good afternoon, Eric. This is Les.
What's up, Les?
What's going on, man? I'm doing fantastic, man. You know what? I agree, but I got to disagree. I have to disagree because one thing that we are lacking and one thing that we won't do, see, we keep putting this blame. One minute we talk about how we were kings and queens, the next minute we want to blame white folks. I can't blame white folks for the failures of young men and young women who were raised by babies and really didn't have a chance to sit back because the babies didn't know. And it's because the parents didn't understand the economics, because economics is just a word. Economics is not something that's hey, look, we make more money, we spend more money than anybody else out here in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time that we stop blaming and putting it on everybody else. We live in a technological age where a person don't even have to see my face for me to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You can make money hand over fist, and don't nobody care what color you are. They just want you to sit back and get in the game. We tend to forget in the 60s and in the 70s how many black-owned businesses there were, but we sold them out. We gave them up. It's like we gave up what we had, and the reason we did it because nobody down the line wanted to sit back and take over, and now we refuse to teach our kids about economy. We refuse to sit down and educate our children about what the real world is about, but we can teach them how to go get that blunt. Go get that blunt wrap up that soap. We can teach them how to hang out at the gas station corner. So when we talk about, I can't blame anybody for the position that we're in but us. It's not, you know, and then something else that we do, we can't even come together as a cooperative because everybody's afraid somebody else is going to be over them. And we don't understand that somebody is going to be over somebody in any organization. We have made more accomplishments. There have been more black successful people that have come out in the last 10 years than we're actually being led on to believe. See, I can take a statistic and twist it any way I want it. If it keeps you where you at and it makes you feel like you no good, why shouldn't I do it? I'm on the top. That's just the way of the world. I mean, it's the same way. Even in our own communities, it's always a top dog. It's always that one matriarch family that's there, but it's always that one that plays like a Judas or a top dog that everybody looks at and says, you know, he got it going on. Might be into anything. And I'm telling you, Eric, it's not so much that it's based on this affirmative action ruling that they're talking about. You know, it's equal opportunity, but do we know what opportunity is? I'll leave it like that.
Nah, that's a good one. That is a good one. I like that. Well, see, and, you know, I think that's one of those clips. I did say, you know, everybody think about equal opportunity, but I don't believe equal opportunity. They're even considering us in a part of that anymore. You know, I really do believe it's more geared toward the group that's really taking up. And we've said this before on the show. The Asians are the ones, you know, making more grounds than anyone now. You know, and you have to, you know, and let's be honest. Look at our neighborhoods themselves. You know what I'm saying? You got nothing but, you know, you have nothing but Asian and Indian stores there. I guess India's part of Asian. Anyway, I forgot. But that's my point, and I think the ruling has a lot to do with that more than just the black and white dynamic. You know what I mean? But I see everybody else got their hands up, so let's don't go nowhere now. We're going to bring it on. Good. Hey, y'all know what? On that one clip, they get started talking like we be talking on this show. Everybody want to talk at one time, and the host had to tell them be quiet. That made me feel kind of good. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's see who we got. 313.
You got 414.
Very cool. Okay, fun one. Well, okay. Fun. Oh, Lord, I can't even say it now. 414. Talk to me.
Good day, good day.
Good day, sir.
How are you doing, Mr. Talk?
I am doing wonderful. How are you, Mr.
Are you happy?
I'm always happy. I'm always happy.
That song you played, that's my favorite song. It has been out in a short period of time, but it encompasses everything and any feeling, emotion that I have right now, based upon knowing opportunity is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Did you have a question?
No, I was going to say, I heard that song actually watching the movie with my child. I said, you know what, that's a pretty peppy song. I like that song. And ever since then, I've been like, hey, that's a good song. You know, so I'm sorry, I heard the part about you happy with the opportunity, so go ahead. I'm listening. Well, we're listening.
Yeah. I mean, and that goes back to the gentleman's statement that spoke before my speech. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about opportunity, you have to remember that as he stated earlier in this conversation, it's more or less as though men and women want to repeat the same processes over and over again, and then they don't even know the reason why they're doing it, because the thing that they're striving for is an opportunity, but they don't know what the opportunity is. Why? Because they're just striving. Like, as he stated, mm-hmm. when someone sees something in the material, then they say that that man or that woman has it going on, or they'll look at someone and say that they were their life, a bum on the streets. But these may be highly intellectual individuals that have been placed there by actually going after what's called opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're dealing with that type of situation, you're talking about the acts that were created in order to create opportunity. And this is why the Supreme Court has a problem. And most constitutions and these different unions, they're going to have an issue with it, and this is the issue they're going to have. How do you conjoin what's considered to be opportunity or inclusion in with full rights and benefits of the community? So in other words, at that point in time, when a man or woman gets an opportunity to get into that right thing, they have what's called a community trust fund. And so they won't be able to do the things that they can do and manipulate the things they can manipulate with their money in that community trust fund. And so you have these other entities, men and women, that they call the Chinese or Asian race and Mexican, Puerto Ricans, or whatever derivative they want to use, and they'll say that that's a race. And then they won't look at the statistics correctly, as the gentleman stated. They'll twist the statistics to make every man and woman think that they are the minority and we are the ones that are stateless, that they're the majority and we are the ones that are stateless, or what's considered to be minority, one who is without state, refugee. So that's what that means. And so as long as they can continue to twist things of that nature right there, and a lot of what the gentleman spoke about earlier, it's not necessarily that men and women sold out to the establishment, as I'll use it, but it's more or less tricked into selling out to the establishment. It's called innocent misrepresentation. Anytime you think that there's only one side to an issue, then it's called innocent misrepresentation, because you were not exposed to the other side, the yin and the yang of that issue. And so you didn't have the opportunity, you had the opportunity, but you don't have the choice to make a decision. The opportunity comes in when saying that I'm going to pull out of just this one specific side of the argument, and I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to look at it directly and indirectly. And so when you look at things directly and indirectly, and you read their literature, what they call publications, put into the public register, when you read those documents, it'll state very specifically who's private, who's public, who's an association. I mean, and they're telling you what side of the Constitution that indirect status was created for. And the direct status was created for us. Now, if you want to partake in their constitutional charters and become what's called debtor in possession of your trust fund and your trust account, then you'll continue to play that game and continue to look for what's called opportunity. The opportunity is in their documents reading both sides of them because they've always been two-faced. And so with that analogy, it goes to what men and women are dealing with right now. If a man or a woman wanted to opt out of what the system, where they're at in the system right now, it's just a matter of going to the IRS and looking up what's considered service and what the service agreement is that you're under, and that what you've opted into through innocent misrepresentation, through contract fraud. And this is basically what they've done to men and women. But you can opt out of that program, and they let you know if you want to go ahead and have all of your funds from your trust deposited into this or that or however you want it done, we'll do it for you. And you get out of the system. Now what you have an opportunity is to look at the Constitution or any presentment given towards you. You get to look at it on even ground. And that way you can look at it from a direct or indirect status and make a choice. Mm. Because it's not about opportunity. It's about the choices that are available and the decisions that we can make to decide. That's what it's about.
All right.
And that's what they do not want men and women to know.
Wow, that was deep right there.
That was heavy.
Les, I'm gonna
can
let
I get back in there?
Then I'm gonna bring. Hold on, Les. I'm gonna let you respond. Then I'm gonna bring another call in. So go ahead.
Okay, great. Let me respond to that because you know when we say there's no such thing as opportunity. Opportunity is really a basic principle. It's real simple. I'm gonna get real ghetto and street on you because the simple fact that what we need to do is we have to learn to sit back and use the talents that we love and the capabilities to make the choices to say that I want more. See, it's real simple. The principles are not difficult. I don't have to worry about the IRS and all of that. That's fine. It sounds good. It sounds real therapeutic, and we get all caught up in it. But we haven't even got across the basic threshold of just learning what it is that we can do. And we need to go back and understand that when opportunity knocks, and there is opportunity, because the opportunity only means that you take advantage of a situation that you know that you're good at. That's an opportunity. And if you don't do it, the door closes. Now another one can open. But, I mean, I do agree with you on everything that you said because – if you're talking to an elevated mind, but when you're talking to a young person on the street, they just want to know how can they get ahead. Well, how can you get ahead? I'm going to give you a quick story, and then I'm going to shut up. There was a couple sitting back about to lose their home right here in Michigan, Detroit, down the street from me. They sat back. They found out that they could cook, and people love their cooking. They put a umbrella and a grill on the corner. Now they done opened up a catering service and a restaurant. Think about that one.
Can I say this real quick? When it comes to your explanation of opportunity, anytime it sets you up to have the ability to take advantage of. Opportunity has just put you at what's called a disadvantage. Because when you're on even ground and you can directly and indirectly look at every situation, then you're on even ground so you can never have what's called an inopportune moment. And that way you're never in a hurry and you can make a very sound decision based upon your willful thought. And that comes with an understanding, not an understanding. And so that comes in time with practicing what it is that you know is the truth, because so many men and women have told lies for such a long time that lies feel like it's the truth, but one thing about a lie, it can never become the truth regardless to how long it's been told. But when you know what the truth is, you just continue in the truth. And so that way you're never looking for an opportunity, but you're somewhere going to give so that you may receive. And so that's what they call down south, even swap don't make no swindle. And so that's the way it's supposed to be. Other than that, right there, in their terminology, it's called bartering.
All right. Interesting. Well, let me bring Mr. Beasley into the conversation and get his point of view.
Oh, Mr. Beasley, where you at, sir?
Even swap don't make no swindle. I never heard of that. It's fair exchange ain't no robbery. But I'm from the city.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
He said even swap don't make no swindle. Back to the original point, you know, I'm in favor of affirmative action.
Okay.
And taking it back to, you know, college admissions, because that's what this is about. I respect the gentleman that spoke, but well, I guess this is a talk show. That's what you do. You give it some perspective. But I think they went way, way, way out. But when it comes to college admissions, there really should be affirmative action. And I've seen the results of affirmative action in many people that probably attended college that are in the 80s and 90s that are doing well now. That I don't see many young blacks following through with that. But affirmative action is necessary. Like Mr. International said, it's about awareness and knowledge of what's available to you. Because there are roads academically that are available to youth everywhere, even in some of the not best schools. There still are roads there. It's not easy. But there are roads there. When your parents and your grandparents didn't go to college, okay, not only they may not, and they are actually able to do well because they were part of a manufacturing industrial society, not only don't see the benefit of college, but they don't know the steps that you have to take as far as the preparation. You can't have someone that's not familiar with what the steps to take, because it's really about preparation to get into college and to get into a better college. That makes it much easier because you know your grades from the 10th grade on are really what count. And when you add extracurricular activities, when you're doing well in school, it makes you more attractive to a better school. So, and that's part of that's a real big disadvantage ever since. I'm surprised that this is on the federal level now, because affirmative action really was put to bed in the late 90s, when Ward Connolly, a famous Queensland Uncle Ruckus, worked to have the University of California, which is probably the best public school system in the country as far as higher education. He made moves to have affirmative action put to sleep. But the enrollment at UCLA in particular, as far as black youth, had dwindled from, you know, maybe about 10-11% to now to 1-2%. So that's unfortunate. As far as the Asians and them doing well, if anything, they could be used as a role model of an example of what to do. These people, you know, if you apply yourself and study and make it that important, you're going to have results. It's that simple. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me ask this question, because you said something, and I think, you know, it's a bigger picture than what you make it. Now, you said affirmative action basically dealt with education. But if that's the case, then how did it ease its way into the corporate world to where, you know,
not what I said.
No?
No.
Oh, okay, my bad.
What I said was this ruling referred to the state of Michigan and college entrance into the state universities, okay?
Right.
Into the state universities in Michigan. Of course, affirmative action was part of – affirmative action was really the law with companies that did any business with the government, which are most companies.
Mm-hmm.
So affirmative action was the law. But most companies, you'll find there is discrimination, but most companies do want a diverse workplace. Not all, but most. Diversity is still something that's encouraged. It's just no longer the law. It's just no longer the law. But there are many companies that are still interested in having diversity. Is there racism?
Okay.
Is there covert racism? Yes. Are there companies that do have a policy that wish to have diversity because it makes them look good? Yes. So affirmative action, yes, applied to the private sector as well. But this ruling is speaking to education. That's why I was speaking to education.
Okay, well, looking at that point of it, I'm going to ask the question to the panel. Is it time to just get rid of affirmative action altogether?
Can I say this before I answer that question for you? one thing upon what he just stated was that so it does apply to the private. And that's the trick of being institutionalized when you think that private only has one definition. In a situation where you're talking on that level, you're talking about private foundation, and you're talking about private foundation charitable trust. And then that's when the universities, colleges, and things of that nature come into play, because they're considered private foundation charitable trust, which means that they're part of the community chest fund and have access to the trust itself in all ways through a fraternal order and bylaws. And you have to know what those are also. And so the thing is that when you know exactly the reason why you have to be affirmed for anything in order for an affirmative action to take place is because they control that system. This is their system. You're in an incorrect status. You have to be in a direct or indirect status. Talking about education, if you want the best education fund-wise for your child to have growing up, then do like what they did under House Joint Resolution 40, I believe it is, which is the Reparations Amendment, and how these different groups targeted the companies right now that held them liable for their slavery antics and affiliations and things, and they put money into what's called a Reparations Trust Fund. And so there are men and women that know about this, and they either as an organization through some of these NAACPs, et cetera, they'll go that route and get that money that those companies have deposited. Or you have men and women that go directly to the companies with a bill, and they honor that presentment based upon how they've honored it before. So it's not about money and how to get your child into college. The problem with the whole thing is what your child is going to be taught in these colleges. Because if your enemy is after you right now, I'd be damned if I want my enemy to teach my child. Because my enemy is going to come home with me in a physical form and manifest everything that it has been taught. And that's dangerous. Very dangerous.
I want to disagree with them, but I've seen these little smart-ass kids in my family come back with their college education, and they know it all, and some of them take he's right. It changes them. It makes them so confident and matter-of-fact that they really do know what they're talking about because of what they're taught in these classes.
Yeah, it's almost like a robot. It's like programming a robot, and that's what it is.
But don't we want our kids to change? Don't we want our kids to change and be really opportunists? Because if you look at, I go back to this word, opportunity, it means a favorable or advantage circumstance combined of the circumstances. We know the circumstances. We know that the board is not level. Nobody said it was going to be equal. Equal before opportunity never really fit in the first place. So we need to debunk that. I would rather have my child come back. And that's what I said, to get educated. Be educated in the field that you're in. Because maybe I don't know all that I really think that I know about that field. And that's why I sent you, so that you could get that knowledge, but learn to take advantage of the opportunity when that door opens and you look at those circumstances, be able to be an opportunist about it.
Of course.
Don't sit back and always tell us doom and gloom when it's not always doom and gloom.
Right. I agree with that.
We've got a lot of folks that's just talking about doom and gloom, and we're never going to make it, and we're not doing anything. If you look around right now, there are more of us doing things right now than ever before. And we're doing it every day.
I hear a lot of the tones in your voice, and I know that it's really frustrating to you that you want to make a difference, and you're trying to figure out.
No, it's not frustrating, brother, because I make a difference. I make a difference
every day.
Every day.
I'm talking about in the area.
If I talk like that, does it mean that I'm frustrated? No.
No.
Listen,
you're making a good point, but let me ask you this.
Where you
stated your kid to college.
Your subject, when you stated that you're subject to the circumstances and that binds you, that right there alone, when you're subject to circumstances, lets you know that it's not a good thing for you.
I didn't say we were subject to anything. I said take advantage of circumstances. Don't
put anything
there that I didn't say. I'm
talking about what you said. I'm talking about what you read.
Listen to what I said and don't filter out what you want. Put in what I said exactly, verbatim for verbatim. I said, take advantage of the circumstances.
What he said,
and that's
being opportunistic.
What we failed to do.
Well,
we
you know what?
To take advantage of our circumstances.
Mr. International, the reality is, let me say this. We are subject to circumstance, okay?
But you can take advantage of any circumstance.
Right, of course, I agree with. I do it every day. That's why I spend my life taking advantage of circumstance. I'm opportunistic. I know how to turn a buck, okay? But we are subject to circumstance, Mr. International, regardless of our status, okay, and regardless of our history. In order to be a productive adult or just in order to have some peace, you want your own place. I have to pay this light bill on time. I have to pay this cable bill on time. These are things that we're subject to. We're subject to a lot of things. That's the truth. But the other side of not being subject to these things is not having some – not being comfortable and not having these, I don't consider lights a luxury. In some places of the world, they would. But what Les is saying makes perfect sense. People are looking at the doom and gloom instead of looking at a way to try to maneuver through this maze. And that's really what it's about. And I agree with that. But let me ask you this, Les, and then I'll stop. If you were to send your child off to college, right, and you've instilled in them good, solid values, of what you believe the truth is, and they come back, mm-hmm. and they come back, and they are a mini Rush Limbaugh, and all of a sudden their total mindset has been changed, and they're talking just like the people on Fox News, and they're talking it to you, mm-hmm. because I've had mm-hmm. this happen with friends of mine, kids. They're like, I don't even know where this MF came from,
Wow.
I sent him off to college. Mm-hmm. He got with this girl. This girl has a conservative father, and has totally brainwashed him about everything that I taught him about the realities of black people in America. How would you feel then?
Mm.
Well, I sent my daughter to college, and she has a master's degree, and she has not changed her mindset as far as her family values and her moral standards.
I understand
because
that. Understand
she had a strong ground.
Yes.
Wait, she had a strong grounding from the beginning.
I respect and understand that, but that's not the question I asked.
And understand what I'm saying. A person doesn't actually change the value. They may change their professionalism. If you sit back and you get into a conversation, if you want to get into Fox News and all of these people that are brainwashing us in the first place, since we want to talk about them a little bit, if you want to be brainwashed by them, that's fine. If you believe everything that you see on television and you take that as gospel, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way. This is why they tell the lies on television, so that we can believe what they want us to believe and buy into that. I'm not buying into it. Brother, I was created with my own mind.
I don't buy into it either.
We were created with our own talents, and we were created with doors that will open for us, but we must take advantage of those doors and must educate our young people to see an opportunity or a door when it opens and not take it haphazardly and sit in front of the TV playing video games and trying to watch every movie and thinking that's real because it's not reality.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Right.
But let him answer the question that I asked him.
I'm going to go ahead and just state that. I have to get off the phone here. I have to go take care of some business. But I'm not a part of any political party. And so by me not being a part of a political party, then I stand in what's called a proper stance. I'm not in any circumstance or circumstances. I'm not inside of that. I'm not combined. I'm not joined in and bound by any of their provisions. And
neither
so
am I.
In order for a man or a woman to operate in just one side of the system that has been created by God, and for them to do this in one side, once you know the truth and you choose to make a choice not to do anything with the information, then you can stay in that position if you choose to do so. But you're going to get the desired results of what you see on television happening all around the world right now by going just into that system on one side, because it's throwing you off balance. But if you know that you have the opportunity also, this is the opportunity. When it comes through information from those that really truly love and wish you well and want the best for you, they tell you about the direct side also. And when they share that direct side, it gives you an opportunity to charter into unknown lands. And so when you realize that you have treasures that you have found on this unknown land, they give the treasures back to you. That way you don't have to worry about financial or materialistic matters. And then you can become focused on knowing the direct side and the indirect side, and I can choose to go ahead and operate in both. See, it's about choices. They don't tell these men and women that have the degrees, et cetera, about the choices that they have available. So it's not a knock on how far they've come with knowing what it is that they know. But the question is, do you realize that a PhD or anything of that nature, unless you recognize the what's called the master plan and become a master of the master plan, then you everything is going to affect you the same way that it has affected everyone else in their system. And it's very simple.
Look,
all it is,
right.
is
look,
look
at it. I think this is Mr. International. I think if you look at it, though, most people that have PhDs, I don't hear them complaining too much. I don't hear them making complaints. I hear people that don't have anything and don't want to look at the opportunity or try to go ahead. And let's just be truthful, since you want to talk about the truth. Let's be truthful. Let's get butt booty naked, as I tell people. A lot of folks don't want nothing. Okay? Well, we agree with that.
Well, this is the thing. You have to remember, if a man or woman chooses to want nothing at all, then that's the choice that they can live with. As long as they know for a fact that they made this choice and no one made it for them, then they're happy. They have joy. Why? Because they have a choice.
Is that why so many people are mentally depressed and bogged down and confused and dumbfounded, and we're dumbing down? Now we want to dummy down the system.
Oh, no. That's not the reason why they're that way.
Okay.
They're that way right there because no one shared with them. Excuse me?
Hold on, gentlemen. I hate to interrupt the flow, but I got two other callers need to come in, and I'm finna bring them in right now, and I do apologize for interrupting you, but I want them to get part of the conversation also before Mr. International get out of here. All right, we're going to bring Mr. Stanley in and Miss Renee. Welcome to the show, y'all, and hope you have fun. Okay, you continue on. We good now.
I was stating that the reason why is because it's very simple. Men and women that are placed in the place of what's called destitute or in indigent status, majority of those men and women, a lot of them that I know were very successful, but they chose to just follow one path. And so when I looked at them following one path and the things that happened to them, I thought the same way that, you know, when I saw homeless people on the street or what's considered to be homeless people, I would look at them the same way, like, you know, why don't you get out and get a job? I mean, you know, here it is, you know, it's broad daylight. And then I started putting them there from point A to point B through my ride into what's called through the ghetto. And I see the young brothers out there, some standing by the corner store. Then I drive a little bit further. You got a couple out there not too far from the store with bottles of beer and everything that they're drinking out there, and they're congregating. And as you go a little bit further, you got the people that have the nicer homes. And then you have this bum or this homeless man or woman on that side of the street pushing a buggy. And so I used to always sit back and say that this is cause and that's effect. But I had to realize that it's not cause and it's not effect. It's basically indirectly doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, which led to forms of what's called insanity through narcissistic behaviors. And so that's what it is. And I have to, I can't title it when I'm dealing with those type of men and women now, because there is no title for them. It's a matter of what can I do to help you now that I know.
Let me ask you a question. I'm trying to get some clarity. When you said people that took one pass, you're talking about people that went through school, found them a job, lasted on that job, and then got laid off, and because they're older, that's the main reason. For some reason, the job market isn't welcoming to people that are, 45 plus.
I'm not talking about when I talk about a path, as I stated, when you're standing on point and you have two areas to go, two pathways to go.
What did these people
you have also those
that you consider successful?
I'm going to share that with you. You have those also that took only the direct path, and they didn't take the indirect path. And so when things started coming at them that breached the waters of their privacy, they didn't know how to respond to it because they had never, ever venued into that area of indirection. They didn't do it. So they were, all they knew was direct. And then what happens when a person has more information on how to create warfare and do things, you become eliminated. And so throughout history, that's what's happening. Those that have the weapons, they come in, and they come in the name of peace, and they destroy. Why? Because you don't know what it is they are and who they are, and that there's two sides, and you can walk both paths. And that way right there, you're not affiliated with anything, but you're just traveling. And you have a right to travel, and you have a right to handle your own affairs and in commerce if you choose to do so, or whatever it is. But no one has a say-so.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. I agree with you 100%. But first we have to teach our young people that they are somebody. They have lost the identity of even being anybody. They have fallen into this funk, this haze, where they think they are in a group of lost young individuals. This is why we have mentoring programs. This is why we have so many people that are trying to instill positivity in such a negative world, because everything is negative. Mm-hmm. We're always talking about the defeat and how we're defeated from the start. You're not defeated from the start, because the start is not the end, and you have to, if you're going to make a choice in between, then you have to sit back and learn to make the right decisions. Well, who's going to teach them to do this, and how are we going to teach people to be positive when we always talk about negative stuff? Because if you're throwing out negative energy, what is somebody going to get? Negative results. Because they're going to feed into that negativity. And so this is what I'm saying with the affirmative action. Even when they first started here in Michigan, and I've been in Michigan, for probably – half of my life, was born and raised here. It didn't stop me from doing what Les wanted to do, but first we have to teach people and kids to know who they are. And most people don't know who they are. They're not comfortable in their own skin, brother. That's why we got so much chaotic behavior going on.
Okay, I'm going to say this right here.
People don't understand.
The ears real quick here. I'm just going to say, I agree with you.
We have to learn to be profitable, and we have to learn to sit back, and that there is an opportunity. There is a you can make it. You can sit back and be what you want to be. But it takes work. You got to put some work in. This thing don't come free. It's not easy. It's not given to you. You got to work hard. You may have to work 20, 40, 60, 80 hours to make this thing happen. But we can do it, but you just got to put in what you got to put in. I agree with you on that. But we have to start educating our young people that they got to put some work in. It's some dues got to be paid.
Let me state this right here real quick, and then I'm going to uplift. The best way to put it is this right here. Whenever a man or a woman speaks something with energy attached to it, it goes out and it does exactly what it is that you state that you want done. Even in explanation of men and women, boys and girls, their behaviors with that same energy is going to go out and it's going to accomplish what that energy has set it out to do. So the thing about it is that you can't believe everything that you see. And you have to know that when you speak with these words that you use or bring these words out of you in the form of who you are, of an expression, you have to express these things that you want to see. And you don't have to do it every – it's not prayer. It's not religion. Just speak them and look for them and see the creation that you're creating. But if you look and speak about certain things that are in a negative or opposing factor, you're going to see those results also. And that's a choice. So men and women, it's all about the choices. But you have to know how to use your choice, making decisions. And that's where men and women have a problem, because there's too much fear involved in having all of those choices. One of the main things about slaves when they were free was, we're free. Okay, we freed in the middle of the wintertime. Where are we supposed to go? Okay, we stand right here. So we're going to be called indentured servants. But some of them were even fearful to leave, even if they after they knew they were free, and they wanted to stay. Massa, we sick today? It's that fearful mentality of knowing who you are as a man and a woman and recognizing that you were born via your mother and your father, and these are the gods that created you. And only thing
yellow
create,
flag, you're on point as usual, Mr. National, but don't you have some business to talk to? We got Stanley
okay.
and Renee over here.
Okay, gentlemen.
You said you had some business to talk to. I'm just trying to not make you miss your appointment, because you might go for another hour and a half, but go ahead, bro.
Good day, good day. But that's what it is. And gods give birth to gods, whether they be male or female. That's what gods do. And so when you know that you're in God's status and you're created by God and the Creator created everything that you know, then you walk with your authority and you claim whatever treasure is yours. And it's simple, but you have to look at it directly and indirectly and make a choice. If you want to go indirectly for a certain amount of time, do that. Set a goal. Come up out of there and go directly. And know how to balance the two so that in either or, you know how to operate correctly because you've made these choices and decisions to decide. And with that, good day.
Mr. International,
right.
just
yes,
to point. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Hey, great.
Okay, have a great day.
All right, thank you, Mr. International. You have a good one, sir. All right. Let's see, Stanley, Renee, are you there? You want to add something
yes,
to the conversation?
I'm here.
Okay. Would you like to add something to the conversation, Renee? I know you've been listening. You got some stuff, I know.
Well, no, I don't, for real, because, honestly, I zoned out at one point. At one point, I just kind of zoned out, and I kind of lost track of what the conversation was. What was the basis of it?
Mr. International, rope-a-doped you.
I guess.
It happens.
Yeah, I just went completely, yeah. And I was over here in the chat room, too, so.
Well, let Stanley talk. You'll collect your thoughts.
Stanley?
You put Stanley to sleep, too.
I was pretty confused.
No, he's a very
good... Was it about education or what was going on?
Oh, man, you really are lost in the sauce, man. Yeah, well, you don't have to let everybody know. It's basically about the Supreme Court ruling about the situation in Michigan when it comes to affirmative action. That's the original topic, and they've taken it from there.
Right. I heard about that, and black people need to wake the hell up. You know, they're constantly doing things. Could keep us in this position or worse. And it's like black people, a lot of us do not pay attention to things like that and the ramifications it can have for our community. You know, we look at that as just another news story or whatever. But that's major, you know. And as far as affirmative action, I mean, think about it. There are going to be a lot of people, if they don't have to hire blacks, they won't hire them. And as much as we, like the conversation we were having yesterday, as much as we want to say this thing about we're all human, we're all this, we're all that, I mean, that's well and good, but we still live in this type of system, and these type of things happen. And we have to acknowledge that. I mean, it's ridiculous to, and that's why I say it pains me when I hear black people saying that. We're all human. We're all, look, do you not see what these people are doing against you? And while we're sitting up here trying to be kumbaya or to assimilate, which we have to a drastic point, they are steadily making laws, changing laws against us. So, you know, I don't understand when we're going to wake up with that.
Do you have any white friends?
Currently, I mean, like coworkers, but I grew
they're not,
up.
They're not really friends. You're just civil with them because you're at work.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Mm,
I mean, I text with them, you know, sometimes and things like that, but not, we don't really hang out.
Right. You're friendly with them, but not really friends. No, and they, you know what? And those white coworkers, they will stab you in the back. The black ones
mm-hmm.
will too. Anybody can stab you on the back in a job place.
Right.
People anybody's trying to get some favor from Mr. Charlie, and will stab you in the back. But oh, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seriously.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Anybody, you'll be surprised if you say something
no, I won't.
Or share a thought.
Doing this
no,
show,
you
I
don't.
Already
you were in the military. I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But it kills me that people do that. I mean, it kills me that people do that, and people that are otherwise, you would think that they were secure in their position, that they find a way to curry favor. Because I never do that.
Absolutely.
I never do that. But continue on. I'm just
we have people who turn on you. We all do. I'm quite sure you stab somebody in their back before, but you know that's
not
here nor
there.
I kill them right
to their face, Les.
It's still a stab. A stab is a stab. I don't care if I stab you in front of you. If I stab you in your back, it's still a stab. It's still a wound.
It's a knife.
Here's what I'm saying. No, not in a negative sense. I'm using that as a parable, okay?
Les.
Because we've all stabbed people. You know,
and
here's what it is. I don't believe right now, if we're really looking at what's going on around us, we see that the world is changing over to where it's not even about trying to work for somebody else. We are moving into such an age so fast to where it's not going to be catered. There's no longer going to be factory jobs. There's no longer going to be jobs where, you know, they don't need that anymore. They don't need it. They've already exhausted that. And now they're getting into a whole new game, and they're telling us. They're letting us know, look, you better go out there and find your niche.
Yes.
And open up what you're going to open. Because you can make more money opening your own than you'll ever make. And nobody has ever got rich working for somebody else. Let me put that out there. And I want people to take note of that. Nobody has ever got rich working for somebody else.
But see, we still have
everybody
to do it.
There's some exceptions, but I'm not going to nitpick you.
No, but everybody has that opportunity. We all have that opportunity, and we have to teach our young people that opportunity is there. We have to equip them as their parents, equip them, as they say, leave them this inheritance, leave them something that they could grab onto other than sitting back and telling them that the world is just up against them, because the world is not against you. It's the people that run things that are against you, because they're not going to let you
is
take theirs.
Isn't that the world, though?
Yeah, they're the world.
No,
even
that's
if,
not
even,
the world.
Even if
the world is this big ball that we live on. It's the people.
Well, you know what?
World.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on, Les. Hold on for a minute. And you know, that's the interesting thing. I like the way you said that, because we used to say the same thing about the military. We used to say, you know, it's really not the military. It's the people in the military that makes things hard. So I kind of get with him on that one. It sounds crazy, but it makes a little bit of sense.
Well,
but
you know why it sounds
bigger? If you put it in a bigger picture, yes, they are the world. So, I mean, we can look at it from those different angles, but the bottom line is it's still affecting everyone that's involved, that comes in contact with it, correct? Let me bring Ebony and Maze into the conversation.
Oh,
and but it's still, you know, affecting everyone else. That's all I got to say. All right, welcome to the show, Ebony and Maze. How y'all doing today?
Hi, we good. I'm good. Oh. Hi, Maze.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right. Well, some young people, they think that we don't know nothing. We've been there and done where they're trying to go and seen the things that they haven't seen. And if, just like Mr. Tuck was talking about the military, you go into other countries, you learn those people cultures, and you get along well with them. Don't you? Or you just go over there and stand back and say, I'm going to throw my black fist up and just be who I am, and I'm going to control stuff and change stuff. The world is getting to where everybody's going to have to work together, because some people are trying to go to space, and we're not trying to go there. And then when it comes to this affirmative action thing, they got affirmative action in HBC schools where white people are going to school on affirmative action.
Oh, yeah, they
so
always have.
And if they hurting us, they hurting them, is what I have to say about that program.
But that's not on a
mass level. At my I went to a HBCU, and one of my best friends, her roommate, you know, we would have four or three other roommates, and one of her roommates was a white girl from a little bitty country town. I mean, far out, one of them towns they don't even have black people. They only see you on TV,
mm-hmm.
and a Mexican, a Hispanic girl. These were her roommates. And they were there on full ride scholarships for being minorities at the school. And they did not participate in any activities.
I'm not talking about activities. I'm talking about a minority.
I'm just speaking about my perspective. They will come they will be there Monday through Friday, and they will be gone. They did not go to any activities. They did not do anything as far as learning the culture or anything. They strictly used it to get their education, and they go home and come back. And
you know what?
You know,
I kind of applaud them for being able to work the system. Good for them.
But everybody always look at it as white people
we
as
don't
being
do
a minority.
That.
It's what they get short. Is everybody, they always look at when they say minority, it's only hurting black people. But if you got white people going to a HBC school as a minority, is it hurting them too?
No, that's not hurting
that
them at
you
all.
You got to look around
everywhere.
You have to look around.
Well,
and
you know
minority.
What, Maze? Maze, huh? You know what? That's a trick question right there. And I'm going to tell you why. Because most young white folk today curious about what a black HBU is about anyway, because they grew up, a lot of them are growing up around black people and experiencing the black lifestyle. So, you know, that's what they know also, you know, and that's probably why they go there.
Well, this
you know,
and
that's probably what their parents
wouldn't
go there, but it's up to the kids, huh?
Okay, yeah, the way
Maze
I say that is because he went to an HBC school, he married a black woman, which his family didn't really care for black people, but he married her because he went to the school where she went. Not they met there, and they got married. But he went on a free scholarship because he was a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who's calling me?
Go
ahead.
Okay, hold on. Somebody's trying to say something. Go ahead.
I think white folks have always had a
point when she said that because
with black people
there
and black
is
culture.
An affirmative action that the black colleges now are allowing more white students into their college.
Right.
And they're taking advantage of it. The young lady before that said something that was great. The white girl or whatever she was mm-hmm. there. She didn't take advantage of it. She didn't go to any of the functions.
No.
Well,
no.
I'm not there to go to the functions. I'm there to get the education.
But, see, I didn't like that.
And when you look,
I didn't like that
and if
because
you look at
you
it from that aspect,
the...
See, a lot of people go to the schools, and that's why they talk about these black athletes. Black athletes are coming out of college, and they still don't have a reading level over the 12th grade. And we don't mm-hmm. hear this. But I just sat back and heard this the other day on a black show, and it kind of baffled me. But then I sat back and said, yeah, well, they skate these guys in because all they want you to do anyway is to be an NBA player, an NFL player. See, we don't teach our kids that they can be scientists.
The man that's over the space program.
Thank you.
That's running it now. He's black.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
What does that mean?
I can't think of his name at the moment.
No, it might not be him. Les is right, and really what
okay,
it is.
Okay, but maybe that's the point that I was making.
Being a scientist isn't glamorized, but being a basketball player or football player is. And it should be glamorized because more people can become scientists than can become professional athletes.
Right,
right. Well,
you have to also understand is, you know, when they bring these athletes in, it's not about them athletes becoming professional players or whatever. It's about bringing money into that university. Now, as far as the white kids going, in reference to the white kids going to black HBCUs and why they let them in, because in a lot of instances, they're bringing money with them. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's a known fact that many of them are really struggling financially. You know, they have to open their doors up to bring more finances.
Also, you have to practice what you preach. You have to practice what you preach. If you're going to talk of inclusion works all the way around. Let them go to black.
Right.
Let them go to black colleges.
Let me say something to that. You're very right. Inclusion goes all the way around. But see, that was my issue with those two girls, is because they did not. I felt it should have to be a requirement to some extent to learn something to submerge yourself somewhat in this culture. I mean, or learn.
Renee,
I just did not think that is
can
a
I,
fair.
Can I disagree with you as respectfully as possible?
Absolutely.
And I mean this respectfully. Okay. I have a feeling that if those white girls were jumping around and going to step shows and socializing and doing everything, that you would have an issue with that as well.
No, absolutely
yes,
not.
Yes, you would. I have a
no,
feeling.
No, I
right.
would not.
I have
no,
a
I
feeling
would. How
you
are you going to tell me when
it.
I lived
I
it?
I have a feeling. Now, I'm
well,
being
you can
respectful.
Have a feeling
Let's
you
keep
want,
it respectful.
But I lived it.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is, we would invite them to go do things, and they would not do it. Now, my thing is not saying, you're talking about hopping around, going to STEM shows. Nobody's saying that. I mean, I'm just saying whatever the event is or whatever something cultural that's happening on campus, why
step
not
shows
be
are
included
culture,
in that?
Step shows are because they didn't identify with the culture and didn't choose to identify
right.
with the culture.
But
and
you're
I agree with
university,
that because nobody,
right.
nobody can force you to do anything.
Right.
You don't
no,
have
no
to
one
take part in
you.
It. Are we taking part in every march that we see out there that's pushing black achievement? No,
they,
we don't.
They
that's
came
what's wrong.
There was, they came there with some identity and kept their identity.
Right.
White people
let
that adapt and emulate black culture, we call them wiggers.
One at a time.
This is what
black people do.
Oh, Ebony,
you know, we love to sit back and party. And we love. It's a bunch
hold
of
on,
things
wait
we
a minute.
Love to
hold
do.
On. Go ahead, finish last.
See, I like to take balloon rides. Look, I like to take balloon rides. I like walking through the park. I like reading books, cooking. I like doing a whole bunch of stuff. So, I mean, but if it's something that I don't want to do, I have the decision and the choice to say, I'm not going to take part in it. And that's fine.
All right.
That's
no.
beautiful.
Okay, but this,
I'm not mad
this
at you. I'm not mad at you. I'm
me
not
either.
Mad at you. I'm not. I can't even argue the point because it would be senseless to argue
right.
the point if a person don't want to take part in what I take part in. That just
see, this
like
is what black
me telling
people
somebody.
Do.
It'd be just like me telling somebody, okay, I'm getting ready to fire up a joint. You got to smoke
hey,
this
where you
joint
at?
Too.
How's education in comparison to smoking a joint?
Because what you said is look, I broke it down to the most common denominator. Because I'm not smoking a joint and I don't smoke weed at all. Okay,
okay,
but here's where it comes in. They have the choice to do what they want to do. They have the choice to walk away and participate or not participate. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at you.
Okay, let me respond to that.
Can Ebony talk?
Go ahead.
That's what black people do. This is what we as black people do. We don't require anything of anyone. Now, if you go to a white university, to an extent, you're going to have to assimilate to some level, because if you're not, that's going to be called, I'm sorry, but you do. But when we have black universities and we have white students coming there, we don't require anything of them about the culture, about the historical facts, about the school being African-American or anything. These kids can come in there, go to class, and leave. And I feel as though if you're going to get a scholarship to a black school for being a minority, why can you not have to learn something culturally or participate in some type of event talking about the history of the school or what have you?
I feel like I'm paying my money for education.
But you got a scholarship.
To participate in activities.
But you got a scholarship to this school.
What I just said.
This school
said
we're
going to
extend money to you.
Wait, hold on.
I know y'all want to get into it, but hold on. I have other people want to come in, and I have one that haven't said anything yet. See, she can add a little more fire to the. Go ahead, Ebony. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. I just it's a very American conversation.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask a question. It is because we don't have affirmative action here in the UK.
Okay.
We have equality laws, but we don't have affirmative action. So my question is, you know, why do you still feel that you need affirmative action in the U.S.? And, you know, is it working? And the fact that you still have it and you want to maintain it sounds like the conversation, like you still do want to have it. What do you think are the benefits for black people in the U.S.? And keeping affirmative action opposed to losing it and being, you know, and everybody being treated exactly the same.
Hold on. Let me get Vernon in. I'm going to give Vernon the first shot at this.
Okay.
Vernon, what's up, cuz?
Hello, Vernon.
What's going on, cuz? What's going on, everybody?
Hello.
All right. I'm like Ebony. I kind of had a question. You know, I wanted to know as a whole, you know, looking at the situation all the way around, do y'all really think affirmative action has helped the black community?
No.
Or has it hurt the black community? I mean, I'm looking at it as in black businesses.
Affirmative action leaders. Definitely helped the black community.
Yes.
Hold on now. Make y'all go one at a time, all right? Go ahead and finish your question, Vern.
That was my question because, you know, to me it's still black people still trying to fit into what the white man already has instead of trying to build his own and not having to worry about trying to fit in and be treated equal because he'll have his own and he'll do his own people. Pretty much the way that, you know, he can treat them right if he wants to. But right now we still just look like we're fighting to try to fit into a white society.
What it's about with education is trying to have the tools and trying to have the credentials that you need in order to participate, in order to get a bigger piece of the pie. I hear what you're saying. But you need these tools and you need these accolades and these pieces of paper and you need this knowledge and this information in order to participate on a level that's higher than an entry level working your way up job. So,
okay. I mean, I'm just looking at it. Why do we have to depend on as much knowledge and thing that black people have? Why do we have to try to get that into a white society instead of building our own type of
let me answer that. Because without schooling, and expertise, and expertise knowledge, you won't know how to build a bridge. You may not. I mean, you can operate a business, but yeah, there's things that you just won't know how to do. You won't be able to do heart surgery. You won't be able to try a case in court. There's things that you just cannot do and won't be able to do unless you get the knowledge and the information that are in the higher.
But I hear that.
Can I say something?
I hear that. But can I follow up question?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ebony.
I was just gonna say, how long have you had affirmative action in your country? How long?
Affirmative action started in the 70s, and it continued into the late 90s.
And the reason why is because the people were paying their dollars, were not getting the job. With the jobs that they had, they was helping America, paying their tax dollars, but they could not get jobs and do the same thing that their money was doing. That's why affirmative action came, so people could move up and have the same thing that I never thought black people had affirmative action anyway. Because if you got 10 to 2, they're not getting the affirmative action. One with the 7 is the one that getting the affirmative
action.
Say
that again.
For the most people.
Beasley, don't you think that as long as that's been, don't you think that's time enough that we should have all that knowledge and education that you're talking about to build our own?
You know that.
And
that's really the intention.
I have to agree with you, Vernon, on that point that you just made. We keep talking about all this affirmative action. Let me tell you something. It ain't never been no affirmative action for no black man or black woman in America. If you look at that bill and look at the way it's wrote in every situation, it's situational to make statistics go up in their college to make it look like we have more blacks or we're allowing blacks into. That's what affirmative action is really all about, to make numbers look good so that the government can give them more money. When
give
we look
more
at the
money.
Real underlying of the overplay. But
we have never had affirmative action, and black folks
never needed affirmative action because those that want it, they going to go out there and get it because they know how hard it was before they had a chance to get it.
You're right. And for those that are not as driven and for not as brilliant, but for those that are not as driven and it's not as brilliant that they can navigate their way through anything, because there's always been people that have been part of the black experience that nothing's held them back, okay? That they were able to navigate incredible odds, you know, that just
that's not today.
But that's not everybody.
Can I respond to that, please?
Are you saying that Beasley that happened without affirmative action?
Yes, there are some. Look at Madam C.J. Walker. Look throughout history. Look at Paul Robeson. There's many figures throughout history that were able, no matter what the odds were and how difficult it was, they were able to navigate through. However, that's not the majority of the people. That's not
the
whole of the people.
Can I respond, please?
Go ahead, Renee.
Okay. To Ebony's question and the other caller, the reason why I feel we still need it is just as I said earlier. If it's a lot of people, companies, businesses, if they don't have to hire black people, they will not. Now, whether or not affirmative action has helped us or not, I mean, we really know that. I would say it's done more good than bad. I would say that, but not in huge numbers. But the fact remains that we need to take advantage of that, just like someone was saying about the white kids. They would go to the black college, get what they needed to get, and move on. But we need to take advantage of affirmative action, and a lot of us did and a lot of us didn't. And the fact remains the system we live in is a very racist. So when you talk about shouldn't black people want to pull their own selves up and get out there and do business, that's great and that's wonderful. But you still have to go through their procedures in order to work, in order to be in certain fields. It would be different if black people had established many corporations and Fortune 500 companies and we really owned some real things. If we did, then perhaps we wouldn't need affirmative action at all, because then blacks knew that they could learn something somewhere they can go and wouldn't be discriminated against. But because we don't have that, and white people are, 70%+ of the population, so that means everything's in their favor and their control. So if they don't like black people, they don't want you there, then they won't have to have you there. And there's nothing the government or anyone can do about it.
It's not anymore.
Okay, now, can I say something here?
You said
white folks are 70% of the population.
Don't you think
it's more white folks is unemployed than it is black folks?
Wait.
If you start looking at the percentages and you start looking at it from what you just said, okay, affirmative action, like I said, affirmative action don't have a thing to do with this other than statistics. If you go back and you look at when they first started talking about these laws, it was a statistical thing. It wasn't to educate us. You can't get no education if you mind, if you don't want it.
But you can still take advantage of it.
You got to want this thing.
Just like the white girls going to my college. That was for numbers. They had to have a certain quota of other races of people
numbers.
There.
No,
it
was because they were,
and they
were minorities. That's
college.
Why they went to the school.
But it was for your college, but they went there for education. Now, I bet they moved on and got a job in some corporation while we're sitting back and worried about why did the white person go to the school? Because they don't get caught up in the field pursuit. See, we get caught up as black folks. We get caught up in circumstance and opposed to looking outside of the box and saying, how can I better myself, my community,
But how is taking away affirmative action going to help that? We never used affirmative action.
It's not true, Les.
Affirmative action was a word made up by white folks. It wasn't made up by black people.
Black people didn't make the word affirmative action. White folks came up with that.
And it was another trick. When you talk about how we being tricked, that's how you being tricked.
That's a ridiculous standpoint to me. Because how can you sit here and say that black people, we don't do this, we don't do that? Okay, that's fine. But then, like I said, when white people come to the school, they're able to do what they need to do and leave. Now, you said they're coming there for education. Wait a minute. You said they're coming there for education. Well, it's a hell of a lot of black kids, too, that's getting into white schools for education. It's the same thing.
And I'm not saying any of that. That's what I said. The point I was making is that they go there for education. They keep focused on what they're there for, the purpose.
And it's a lot of black kids who do that as well.
See, we don't have a plan. We're running through life. We're trying to live a life in survival mode. We're not learning to live. We just want to survive. And that's what's wrong with
most of us. Okay, so what is taking away affirmative action have to do with that?
Most people are going to a survival mode opposed to learning how to live. And you have to learn how to live your life.
Okay, Les, what does taking away affirmative action have to do with that? How does that change that situation?
You know how it changes?
To me, it only makes it worse.
Because it lets you know that you've got to sit back and you got to be the best that you can be. And you might have to put your teeth. Watch this. You may have to put your teeth and bite an extra notch to sit back and make it. But it shows you and it gives you some discipline and it gives you a course that shows you that this thing ain't no bed of roses. There ain't no cakewalk.
We already know that. You don't think black people know that? You don't think we know that we got already
got to be
better?
I don't think we know that anymore. I think we've gotten so complacent to where we want everybody to give us something, we're trying to get retribution that we're not going to get. We're trying to be retributed for things that we're not going to get retributed for.
No, I know a hell of a lot of black people who are still talking about
they're going for slavery. Well, they ain't going to pay us, so let's face the facts. They're not going to pay us for being slaves.
No, I can't go for that. I can't.
Okay.
I can't. Because how is taking away something that benefited some people, even if it's a small number, how is taking that away helping the black community to make us wake up and know it's not a bed of roses? Nobody knows it's not a bed of roses.
Hold on, everybody. Thank you. This is a 15-minute warning, y'all. We got 15 minutes left in the live show. So if you want to continue to hear the show live after 15 minutes, you need to get on the phone, on the switchboard, 347-838-8622. All right? Because we will be going into overtime. Now, I have a question. And you know, we've been talking affirmative action, and we've been talking about why is it good and why is it not. But here's a question I have for y'all, which has just slipped my mind. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to try and put it back in my mind. You know, over all these years, here's the question. Has the black community become too reliant on affirmative action? Have they decided, to, you know, we decided that we know we got a better idea getting it because there is affirmative action, and is that when we go to look for somewhere to get hired or go to school, we're depending on that? Can
no.
you say that?
No,
maybe that's what the problem is?
Maybe,
no,
maybe,
we're not.
Maybe.
Can I explain why? Because when affirmative action came along, one group of people ruling. So they've sold this country out, so now they got to look for somewhere to go just like we did to get hired.
I have a family friend. She has an MBA. In fact, I just exchanged an email with her. And during the 90s, I sold advertising on my own, and it was geared toward getting companies to put that they were required by law to advertise in minority publications. So in pursuit of that, I would have discussions with her. And she went to UCLA, and she went to Loyola Marymount, and she went to Howard, and she has advanced degrees. And I asked her about what box do you check. She said, if you get admitted from affirmative action, you don't know it. The question is, has affirmative action helped? Oh, my God, it's helped. There's so many people that were probably on the bubble that wouldn't have gotten to Sutton universities, and I know these kids that, and now they're lawyers, and now they're productive, and they're working in society. It also helped in business because there were minority contractors and minority businessmen that just didn't get their bids recognized. But since they call them set asides, and I don't know if they still have them, but there was a big problem with them. What if there was a federal contract and federal money going out that a certain amount had to go to black or minority business center, minority contractors? So ignoring the effect and the benefit of that. Now, the unfortunate thing, and I'll end with this, is that you would hope that these people that benefited, that truly did benefit from affirmative action, these black businessmen, and some of the black people that have gone into the professions, but the opposite has happened with a lot of people. Clarence Thomas benefited from affirmative action. Okay? No, it's the truth. He benefited from affirmative action, and now we're completely against it.
Yes.
Ward Connolly, who was against the whole UC system, he led the charge. He was the face of the whole charge of stopping affirmative action in the University of California system. So you have people that benefit from something and then close the door on everyone else.
Mr. Top, I wanted
right.
to respond with
yes,
you, what you had asked or proposed. The fact of the matter is, though, when you talk about getting affirmative action, these people who get it already have to have some things going for them, meaning they have to already be good students, they have to already have grades, they have to already be well-rounded in some way. This is not like they just going walking in the hood and pointing
right.
out somebody and saying,
right.
okay, come on and go to Harvard. No,
right.
you already have to be to a certain level and criteria to even get affirmative action to be looked at to get into these universities or to be looked at to get into a corporation. You've got to have the degree. You've got to have all those things. So it's not about just taking anybody and putting them in that position to where we're relying upon it.
Right.
They're not relying upon it. They're already working toward being good students or business owners or whatever. They're already on that track. And it's
right.
just that the companies and the schools see, okay, well, this black person, we have to have so many black people. Okay, well, this one here had a 4.0, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll allow them to come into the school. Or they'll hire them. Okay, they have a master's from such and such. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. They're not riding around the hood pulling dudes off the corner and letting
okay,
them get
but here's the problem. I think here's the problem with that. In that case, why do you need a affirmative? If the person going in has those type of criteria, why would they need affirmative action?
It's the people that were on the bubble.
Exactly, Mr. Talk. Why would you need affirmative action?
I'll tell you why. Because
when you
the people that were on the bubble, it's not necessarily.
Hold on, one at a time.
I got a question. I've got a question.
Hold on for your question for a moment, Ebony. Hold on for your question for a moment, Ebony, because I think, let's see, I think Beasley was trying to answer first.
No, it's the
and then we're
going to
have Renee, and then we're going to have Les. Go ahead.
It's the people. It's the people that were on the bubble, not the people with the 4.0, but with the people with the with the 2.99999 that these set asides that the affirmative action benefit. And I also have known and talked to these kids. I used to be on this website, and it was full of black Greeks, young black Greeks, and it was a message board, and we used to discuss all type of things. But some of them even admitted. Some of them even admitted that they went to Crenshaw High. Some of them even admitted that when they got into the university, and they did real well at their school, but when they got into the university, a couple of them admitted that they had to take remedial classes in English, and some of them had to take remedial classes in math. He said because even though they got A's at their school, it just really wasn't on par as to, you know, they were lost when they came in the classroom. Not all of them, but a few of them admitted to that. So So affirmative action is a good thing, and yes, it has helped, but no, it hasn't helped everyone. And like Renee said, she's on point. You have to be on some type of path. Unless you had a business, unless you had a business, there's no way, and you provided a service, there's no way that you're going to apply for a federal contract. Unless you are some type of student, unless you are some type of student that's interested and geared toward college, even if your performance wasn't that spectacular, at least you had an option or a chance to get into college. Yes, it's helping those that have tried to help themselves.
Correct. And
okay.
See, that's the thing.
Go ahead, Renee.
And see, what Beasley just said, that shows you an example. These people went to HBCUs, went to colleges, and they came from schools who did not prepare them fully. So that shows you right there that there's not a level playing field. And when there's not a level playing field, you cannot expect for people who are on the lower scale to be treated as people on the higher scale. It's not going to happen. And when you guys talk about, well, why do we need affirmative action if these people are already on the right track? Well, the fact is we live in an equal society, just like I said. And there are people, and y'all know this, that will not hire black people because they don't want to there. They don't want you
there.
They don't value
also,
you there no matter how smart you are,
people,
no matter what degrees you have, no matter how put together and poised you are.
Nope.
They don't want
me.
Black folks in there.
And can I speak now? And there are also people that
No,
have
not
black
yet,
people.
Not yet, Maze. Go ahead.
Okay.
Are you through, Renee? I'm sorry.
I just, yeah, pretty much, but I just wanted to say that. We don't exist on an equal playing field. And y'all, as black people, know this. When you go out into the world, you have to try to be 10 times better than somebody else who's white in order to get in the door to do something. These are not people who are just lazy, sitting around, not doing anything. These are people, like Vivi said, trying to help themselves, and they just need some further assistance. Because if they wanted to try to get into Harvard or Stanford or whatever, so Harvard or Stanford, if they don't have to have no damn black people in there, they're not going to have you in there. No matter how good you are. So we have to remember that.
Okay. All right. That's good points. Oh, go ahead,
okay.
Les.
Okay. You know what? I like that. I like the way – I like that. I agree with a lot of the stuff that was said, but here's what I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell you just what my business dean told me. It's not what we're going to show you in this school. It's what you want for yourself. If you apply yourself, there's nothing out there that's going to stop you from getting what's yours. If you sit back, there ain't a power out there that can form against me that's going to stop me from getting what if I work toward it, I'm going to get it. If I'm at Harvard or if I'm at Michigan, if I want to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a lawyer. If I want to be a doctor, I'm going to be a doctor. Everybody ain't going to be Harvard material. And Harvard ain't letting everybody up in there just because. And we have to face that fact. We have to sit back. Somebody asked, what would be my plan? Teach your kids when they're at home. Start teaching when they're young that it's not about working for somebody else. Teach them what economics is really about.
How does that change the white supremacy?
Let them know that this is not about working for someone else. It's about really right now we live in an age where it's not going to be jobs where you're going to work for somebody else. Most people are independent contractors that are contracted out to these companies. And they're doing more of that now than ever before. And if we don't start seeing it, and if we don't bring ourselves up to speed, we're going to lose the battle again.
So why would they choose a black company if they don't have to?
Why would they choose a black company? The black companies are making just as much money as the white companies.
But Renee, when you're looking for a job, you go to work for hire.
Can I say this easily? Most people that are working for companies are not actually planning to stay with those companies. They're actually, like they say, freelancers who will go to the highest bidder. Sometimes you need a stepping stone to step on.
No, it's the truth.
Isn't affirmative action that? Is affirmative action the stepping stone? You said stepping stone.
Affirmative action has not provided what people said it was supposed to provide.
It let a few blacks in the door.
Right. But it did not sit back and open up this floodgate that we're looking for.
So how does taking it away open the floodgates?
What you just said, isn't affirmative action for that? No, it wasn't for that. It didn't make it where blacks that weren't qualified couldn't get there if you weren't qualified to get there. And somebody said,
"No, that's what it's all about." Les, it's about people that were on the bubble, and some people that were underqualified got into universities. You know, some people that were under.
How many, Beasley, do you really think got in there? Didn't you hear what I just said?
Listen, didn't you hear what I just said? When I spoke to the friend of the family, and she's about 47, 48, and she has an MBA, and she's highly educated, but when I asked her, so when you check the box for affirmative action, she said, if you're admitted to affirmative action, you have no idea of knowing. There's no stats on who was admitted for affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I know everybody wants to speak, but I got the floor. One, I just saw something real interesting, and I'll be real quick. And this is an article that just came out. It says, according to the Journal of Blacks in Higher Education, this year marks Harvard University's higher percentage of accepted black students to date. Almost 12% of the total applicants who are offered admission next fall are black. This is without affirmative action. That's the hardest of the hard schools to get into. There's more black students accepted into Harvard now. It always will be. Without affirmative action. So the message.
What's the reality of this?
Now they're allowing 12% out of 100%. They're qualified. And the reason why they're qualified and they're getting in on their own merit.
So what it's allowing, let me say this. Don't you think they would have gotten there anyway?
No.
Didn't Barack get in there?
I don't know about that, Les.
Okay.
What I see is that we're constantly focusing and consumed and thinking that our youth is a complete loss and a wash because there's a lot of them that are lost when there are actually some people that are doing some of the things that are worth saying that we think would solve the problem because you have more black kids getting admitted into Harvard. So not everyone is lost.
There's a great number. There's a small number when you start looking at us. There is a small number compared to the number of us that are not doing anything, and we have to face that harsh reality also. And those are the ones that we must focus the attention on.
It's not the one that's going to Harvard.
It's the one that's not going to be able to go to Harvard, that's standing on that corner with his pants hanging off his butt, sitting there telling you, what's up, dog?
Maybe we should question that. Because you know something? We see the kid on the corner drinking beer that's lost, okay, but what we don't see is we don't see the kid that's inside his room studying.
Exactly.
And that's what you want to focus on.
Hold on for a minute, because I want to go back to something Les just said. And it took me a minute to realize this also. Now, Les mentioned the kid on the corner with his pants hanging down. You know, and, you know, your initial thought process is, you know, this kid is not doing anything, you know. But if you go and talk to some of these young men, they are brainier than most of the jokers that's walking around in school.
Exactly.
You know, in colleges. I mean, some of these guys have, it's just a persona that they're giving off. So if maybe, you know, if we always talking about what can we do, if we go and talk to some of these brothers and young brothers that see exactly what's going on with them, you know, and why they out here doing this, you never know which life you can turn around. And plus, then that gives them incentive to go and help their friends. But, you know, if only thing we're doing is going around saying, well, they're just walking around with their pants hanging down, and that's it, then, you know, it doesn't matter whether you have affirmative action or get into school free, it's not going to happen because nobody is showing any sort of care for the young people out there. Now, that's all I have.
And let me piggyback on that for one second because I got to get ready and do this thing. So let me sit back and piggyback on what you just said. We don't realize that it's more people. There are more entrepreneurs that have never touched a college in the United States and throughout the world than ever go to college. Mm-hmm. And there are more college students that are unemployed than there are people statistically now than there are people that we sit back and call the bums, the we call them the hopeless, but they got hope. We just got to restore the hope in them. We got to show them. We got to show them the talents that they have.
No,
Les is making a good point, but I think the thing that you're negating, Les, is that the entrepreneurs that never had an education, the majority of them are white, and who got away with no education, dropping out of school, and then creating something that became really, really great. They are mainly white people. And the reason that is because it's on a lot of levels. And you know, I know someone was saying in the beginning, oh, I'm favoring the UK over the US. No, we have exactly the same situation. We just don't have affirmative action. We just don't have affirmative action, which is different to you, but we have inequality on lots of different levels. So we're talking about inequality in education. We're talking about inequality in employment, and employment our opportunities to better ourselves in business, you know, at all sorts of levels. We are disadvantaged and that is what we have to overcome. So the question is, if we didn't have affirmative action, and in our country we don't have affirmative action, but we have equality laws which are supposed to level up the playing field between blacks and whites, because we know we've traditionally had that issue where, you know, those who are in power control our means of survival. That also means that they have the opportunity, because of that power position, to determine whether you live or you die. That's the truth. So we have
it's
a serious situation. Because if in health we're still facing inequality, and people don't look at the inequalities in health as well, and our access to health, and I know you guys have tried to deal with that through Obamacare. I don't want to even go into that one, whether that works or not. But the reason why maybe that came about was because of, again, inequality in access to health. If you don't get access to good health and insurance and all the rest of it, you die, as opposed to someone when you're sick who has the money to get the care. So the question is, how will you change the system so that we have an equal playing field? If we don't have affirmative action, what would you have in its place?
Okay,
that's,
you know what, first of all,
I thought he was gone.
And I agree with you. I agree with you to this degree, that, first of all, we have to quit talking about equality. There's not going to be equality. There's never been equality. Since the beginning of time, there's never been equality. We've made this word up where everybody wants to be equal. Women here don't get paid the same as men. Well, they're fighting over that right now. They want equal pay for the same job. Okay, so there's not going to be equality, so let's stop lying to ourselves and stop telling people that there's going to be equality when the world is not made to be equal.
Exactly.
The world is
That's
made for you to step
action.
Out. Watch this. The world is made for you to step out and be the best that you can be. Get
out
of here, somebody. Go out there and go out and mentor a young person. If you have that knowledge, if you have the knowledge,
you have
go
knowledge, but if you don't have
it back, and that's
but
the greatest thing that you can do.
Yeah, let
give
you can have the knowledge.
Not
you can
enough
be
of us
really
are
bright.
Giving back.
Yeah,
we
you can have the knowledge. You can have everything that you need, but if you go out there and you can't get the investment that you want from a bank when you've got a great idea that you want to put out into the community and you want to make business and you want to employ
mm-hmm.
people, how do you achieve what it is you want? It may not be because you don't have the ambition. A lot of us have the ambition.
Well,
we have the drive.
Let me,
a lot of us, our community are doing 3, 4, 5 jobs. Right? To make ends meet. That's the truth.
Right.
That's what's really happening.
Let me answer this, Abby. Let me answer this, because one of my friends, very good friend I grew up, went to school with, he was the president over black business loans. And he said
mm-hmm.
to me one of the biggest problems, he had to give back $75 million back to the bank out of the minority fund, the black fund for black businesses. He says most of us don't have our plans designed correctly and according to criteria. How do you get that criteria?
Exactly.
You request. Wait. How do you get that criteria? If we would listen sometime, we could learn something.
That goes back to having the school and the knowledge.
I got the flow.
Sometimes you have to be prepared.
Can I talk before I get out of here? Because I'm going
to
tell you how you do this. If you want to hear how to do this, what you do, go to the bank. Get the criteria. Then do your research.
You can't go do that.
Sit back, and if you can't make the business plan, find somebody that you know that can. Because there's always somebody that we know that does something in some field that we can call on. You just have to be willing to sit back and to go get that help and not be so prideful.
Getting money from a bank.
To say that we know it all. Anyway,
no.
On that note, great show. I got to get out of here. I got to run.
I
talk to
you.
I
know you do.
Bye.
Bye.
I've enjoyed everybody.
Yeah, I know you do. Uh-huh.
Getting money from a bank for a startup
business.
I'm sure
you got to go.
Getting money from a bank for a startup business is a real long shot. Even if you're white and Ivy League
right.
with blue blood heritage, that's why venture capitalists exist. But
mm-hmm.
to answer Ebony, because it's venture capital, because there's a good chance that you could fail, and failing's okay. Everybody fails before
mm-hmm.
they succeed. Ebony mentioned, and what you know, Ebony mentioned, you know, and she came with the right with a good answer. You know, you don't necessarily go to the bank at first. You have to start where you are. You know, if you're selling refrigerator magnets, for example, and I'm just using that as an example, you know, instead of selling them 1,000 at a time, maybe you have to sell them 1 or 2 at a time, and you build your way up. Any little business that I've had, I've started really with not a lot of money to start with, but I knew what I was doing, and I knew how to sell, and it took off from there. So,
well, see, let me just say something about what Les was saying.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is all of that stuff he was saying is BS to me, okay?
No,
to me
not
and
necessarily,
my opinion.
But go ahead.
The fact is when he talks about being the best that you can be and stepping out and this, that, and the other, that is great, and that is so wonderful. And maybe there is truth in that to a certain extent. But you can be as great as you want to. You can have the best plan that you want to. But because we live in a system we exist in, if somebody don't want to let you through, they won't. It
and
does not
why,
matter about
you,
all of those things. But we do need to make our own opportunities. But at the same time, things
it's
are linked up.
And
it's
nobody's stopping you.
Renee, your attitude is a defeatist attitude.
No,
there's
it's
gonna,
not. It's a realistic.
Yes, because,
it's reality.
And no,
reality.
Well, you know what? It could be your reality. It could be your reality. And if you make that attitude your reality, even if there's some truth to it, it's going to stop you from succeeding. Mm-hmm. Les's attitude is to continue to try, continue to push, and believe there's a way, because there is a way. If you're going to focus, let me tone my tone down, on the ways that you can succeed and the ceilings that are on you and the discrimination that's out there, it can stop you from trying as hard.
Wait, let me say this.
It will stop you from trying as hard.
You cannot discount and discredit the race relations and the situation it is existing today. And when you do something like you remove affirmative action, even though it really doesn't do what it's supposed to do and even though it really doesn't help very many, that compounds the situation to make it even worse. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have the drive and ambition. Absolutely. What I am saying is you can have the drive and ambition and still not get to where you want to get to because you have that skin color obstacle in the way. That's what I'm saying. That's a realistic expectation. That's a realistic thought. Now, you can succeed and you cannot succeed, but we also need to acknowledge the fact that the system is not built for us.
Of course. You know something? You know how many people, how many black businessmen have put white people in front? And still do it?
Right.
Yes.
And still
right.
do
in front
it?
Of their business.
And still do it? You know, no, I know someone now. He said, that's the white boy. I'm the CEO, but nobody know it. I put the white boy in front.
Mm-hmm.
I tell him
mm-hmm.
what to do. He's smart, but I run circles around him. So if what you're saying is true, and there's some truth to it, okay, and there's certain industries that you're not going to be, that you're going to get the door shut on you because you're black. But then
right.
you do what you have to do, and if it involves putting a white person in front, you put the white person in front.
That's
what
happened to a friend of mine.
I mean, you do what you want to do.
That's
what I say. So I would prefer to think of a solution and a way around the obstacle than to say it can't be done, or that
no,
it
I'm not
stop
saying it can't be done. I'm acknowledging reality. Okay, I'm acknowledging reality, and just by what you said right there proves the point. You have to try to finagle. You have to try to find some way to go around the system.
Right,
exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. And it proves that you still can win. That you still can win. And you still can find a way if your mind is focused on solutions and succeeding and getting where do you want to get.
No, but that's the same thing.
And you're not going to get there by yourself.
What do you mean about winning? Winning what? I mean,
winning,
they can
getting what you want to get.
Wait a minute. They
achieving
can get
what
business,
you want to achieve.
And they, okay, but like I said,
the whole answer
you gave involved going around the system. We are talking about the system. Okay, when Les was talking about, he was saying go out, step out, and learn this and do that. Okay, he's talking about going through the system. Your solution to it, which is good, we need to find solutions, absolutely, because that acknowledges that the system does exist and it's not for us. So everything you said is going around that system. When Les is talking about going through the system as if we could just succeed doing it that way.
I'm smarter than Les. He talks a lot of shit. I actually do this.
Wow.
That's real.
I'm more practical.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't say rubbish. But I think what the conversation lacks is a solution focused conversation, because I think we talked a long way around the point of what's going on and what's happened, but I think what you've got to, if you're going to question a system or the implementation of a new system or a regurgitation of an old system, through your legislator, then what you need to do is to look at, we had this, what might work now in the future for us? And if it's not this, what could it potentially be? And that's what I was trying to get from you guys. Like, it's you've experienced it. What would you suggest could possibly work? And I think that maybe people don't have the answers right now, but that might be something that you want to look into when you look at it before you decide whether you want to reject it a second time or whether it should still be there. Has it worked? And if it hasn't worked, what could you put in place to make it work so that more people can benefit clearly it's been successful for some people from what Beasley's been saying and other people have been saying. But in going forward, I mean, the way that my brain would be, oh, well, so if I'm going to take this forward into 2014, what would it look like now in 2014? And how might that work for young people coming up? And, you know, and those people who are still trying to achieve things out there in their careers, or, you know, when you want to access different areas of service, how might it work now?
Hmm.
That's the question.
Very good.
The way it will work now?
That's
simple.
Yeah, how would it work?
If,
yeah.
It's now. Like if your money is going in the same pot everybody else's money is going in, you should take the redlining out of the way and let people do what they need to do. But a lot of people benefited from affirmative action because they're doing well. And a lot of people were put in affirmative action because the knowledge that they had, they needed it in that company. And affirmative action had nothing to do with it because they could have had their own business and running it and making money and become billionaires just like them. And that's where they took some of the people in, and they called it affirmative action. Because they do the job and know how to do the job, and they know how to do it well.
Is that a fact?
I'm not going to lie. I miss the juice of
you
what
always missing something. What do you say?
I'm what?
Are you always missing something? Or you want to hear? You want to hear what you want to hear when you want to hear?
Excuse me, ma'am.
I heard
them
say that.
Slow down, May. Slow down, May.
Please.
You're killing them.
Yeah. Slow down, May.
Honey, please, okay.
Is,
you don't
even
know
if,
me
even
like
if it
that.
Is the truth.
You don't know what I'm missing, and I hear what I
want
to hear. No.
You want me to
I hear everything that's said, and that doesn't change my opinion on certain things because
yeah,
it is how it is.
Because you're young, you think old people can't comprehend things that y'all can't comprehend.
I didn't
I heard
say
you
that.
Say it. Yes, you did. You told me when you threw me out the family. You remember? The old people
I didn't
don't
throw
know
you
anything.
Out. They threw you out. I didn't say anything.
Okay. Man, we ain't talking about no damn family. Whatever. Take them shots to the good. Anyway, you know, as far as affirmative action, look, I'm telling you, you know, that's one of those things where I'm kind of torn. And one faction, yes, I say affirmative action is good. You know, it helps some that really need help. You know, however, you know, some individuals, I think, are depending on that more than getting the actual skills they need to actually get somewhere. It's like students in high school. You know, if they know they're not making the grades to get in academically, what they do? They, you know, the athletes, they work on getting that scholarship. As long as they maintain that C average, you know, they're happy, which if that's what it takes to get out and get a scholarship, fine. But, you know, and if we go ahead and continue to depend on, you know, places having to have so many minorities employed somewhere, then I think that's an issue. And until we come to the group to a point where I know the system is never going to be perfect because we already know the system is rigged and it shall always be rigged. But if we can get to the point to where we can actually go in on our own without any help, then we would be wonderful. I mean, it would be a wonderful thing. Then you wouldn't need it. But see, here's the thing also. You have to remember that even though when you say affirmative action, most, like I said at the beginning of the show, most people think, you know, black people, you know. But
right.
In
I
actuality,
wanna, yeah.
You know, actuality, we aren't the ones who are really, how can I put it, really, dang, what's the word I'm looking for, y'all? You know what I'm talking about. Benefiting from it as much as most people think.
The group that benefited,
you know,
from affirmative action more than any other group is white women.
Right.
And so
right.
Now, but see, here's the thing about that, Beasley. Now
because
it's not
women,
even white
because
women. It's the Asians.
Women, well, women are included. Asians, for the most part, make it on their merit. Asians have
mm-hmm.
always been overrepresented in college admissions than their population. Okay,
mm-hmm.
They've been over they overrepresent. If Asians are 3% of the population, they might be 20% of or 20 or 30% of the freshman class at Stanford and Harvard and UC Berkeley. What you want is an adequate representation of the population being able. Now you said something that people that don't have the skills. What affirmative action is about in education is making the lane, making the possibility so people can acquire the skills so that they can move into the professions, so they can move into higher income positions.
But what affirmative action?
You know what, Beasley, I understand that, but I think, you know, in order for it to really help you, you have to have some skills yourself.
No, well, you had to have done some work in school and study. Let's just talk about college admissions, okay? And it's really not for the student. That's gotten so competitive now, okay? But it's really not for the student that's getting all A's, okay? It's for the student that gets B's and C's. It's for the student that may not qualify or may not be really eligible. That be on the bubble, that may not make it. It's a set aside for that student. That's who it's for.
The student with all A's
is going to find a place somewhere, regardless. Mm-hmm. It just was in the news recently. You had a black kid, I think. I'm not sure where he lived, but he got accepted to all eight Ivy League schools.
Yeah. Right.
They had a kid up in the Bay Area that just got accepted to three of them. And then the news that I just read about Harvard, which surprised me, that they've accepted more black students than ever before, which is about 12%. So it sounds like Harvard – go ahead.
The question I was asking, they got in on affirmative action, but affirmative action didn't keep them there. The job that they were doing made them what they accomplished. Not affirmative action. They just got inside the door. And then the women came in as affirmative action. The white women came in as a minority business, and they benefited too.
Right.
So that's when it just
gives you a shot.
That's
it gives you a chance. You still have to perform.
Yes, because if you don't perform, you can't stay there.
And as far as starting businesses, Ebony mentioned that they're white, that the people that drop out, that they're white. You're not going to start a business and succeed with no knowledge and no information. Now, one way that you get the information and the knowledge is probably a better place than a job. Probably a better place in school is at a job where you're learning the way that it works. And if you can take the fact back and figure it out, I've always done that. So how do they do this? So I could do this. I've thought about like that since I've been in my early 20s because I've always thought if they can do it, I can do it too.
And a lot of people have the job.
I think y'all are discounting the effect of the country we live in. I mean,
I know the
again,
country we live in, and I've made it
but,
in this country, and I've made it in this country. And any failures that I've had, it has been more because of my lack of preparation or my lack of performance or something that I didn't do. It's really not anybody else's fault. I've worked for black people. I've worked for white people. And I don't know. I think you live in the Midwest. I'm in California. Maybe it's a different dynamic.
Things aren't that different. We're all under the same system.
Well, it's different because we have more ethnicities in the pot. There's a strong Spanish population. There's a strong Pacific Islander Asian population. And there's blacks as well. Generally in the Midwest, generally speaking, now there's more Hispanics. It's black and it's white. It's that simple. And
it used to be just black and white.
Right.
I can only concern myself with my people. I cannot worry about if Asians are getting accepted or Indians are getting accepted. I have to be concerned about black people. And see, Mr. Talk brought up a good point. When you talk about affirmative action and who benefits from it, now it's still kind of that same thing. If they don't want to hire a black person, they don't have to. They can hire an Indian. They can hire, you know, an Asian. They can hire a Hispanic if they want to go around hiring black people. So the fact of the matter is we still need something to give some type of credence to black people to say, okay, well, we're going to open the door for you. I mean, it's just what it is.
I think you guys are not looking at the whole full picture. And it's very easy.
Can I say something? See, like when black people used to do stuff, they used to have apprenticeship. They taught one, like take a brick mason. The best people, the person that could lay a brick would be a black person. Nobody else can lay them and still can't. And they had apprenticeship where they taught people how to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they had a shortage of it now, where they can't hardly find people to do it the way we did it. Unless you
and
know
then we have to
did.
Look at the
and I have a friend.
They don't build solid brick structures anymore. They put some drywall and some stucco up.
Yes. And But what I'm saying,
Let's let JC in real fast because your time is running low. Go ahead, JC.
Hold on, everybody.
Hey, JC, what's up?
Nothing much. Okay, I'm going to make this quick because I know the show almost over. Now, the affirmative action, okay, it's there for a reason. And just like they're cutting back on welfare and these other programs for people in underdeveloped neighborhoods and communities, it's just one step at a time. And I've been seeing this for like 4 or 5 years now. Okay, see, they started out with black males, you know, giving us certain reputations and the jail thing and the gay thing and so on and so on. And the only thing they were doing was setting up African-American women next, because that's what's happening now. Now, that affirmative action, now, you know a lot of black women say, hey, you know, it's more black women in college than it is in men, and men need to start going to college. Now, you have to think about it. They're trying to cut out that affirmative action because guess what? They need to put black women in these certain positions and high-ranking positions. So now what they're doing, see, you're not understanding that they're concentrating on African-American women slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. Now, this affirmative action is part of it because it's more black women in college, as everybody do say. If they are promoting black women.
And more of them got business too than anybody.
They're
their own businesses, self-employed.
And they're pushing they're giving them grants, they're giving them money for this and other. And see, it's going to trickle down the line slowly but surely. And I guarantee you, remember I told you this, okay? Remember JC told you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
By 2016, you watch the negative effect that is going to be having on a lot of African American women. Just watch that.
We already see the results. But JC, I don't know if it's all by design and if it's some master plan. Okay, because let me tell you this: I remember going to the library in 1991. I was going to the library in 1991, and I noticed looking around the library at all those little study desks. It was full of young black women studying. Okay, this is 1991, so this is 23 years ago. All I saw was young girls black studying, and I was able to make the observation then. I was like, wow, these young black girls are going to be getting ahead, and someone else is going to be getting left behind. And now 23 years later, you see the results of that. So what you're saying is spot on. I don't know if it's all by design, because I don't know
it's
if
all
the
by
system,
design.
But can I answer your
well,
question?
Well, I don't know if the system was designed to make these young black girls that they wanted to study, and the young black boys weren't there studying as well.
Yeah,
can I ask you a question?
Oh, well, you know what? It might be part by design, but it's also someone else's choice. And I said
and
that earlier.
Actually, yeah. It may be,
can I say
you
something?
It has started by design at one thing, but if you kind of think about it, what they're doing is they're developing their plans as they go. You know, we were talking just like last month or something. You know, I guarantee you they have like, you know, these psychologists, therapists, and everybody, they have probably this big, huge table. All they do is they sit around and they study society's habits and what we do. They study every culture, what they do. They know how to get us in their sights to sell us certain things, to make do certain things.
You know,
that's
just
how
like
you can control and manipulate populations. They've been doing that for a long time.
For years. And also, as I say, look at Madam C.J. Walker. Her products are still in this. She's gone, but her products are still here. So she was the one that started the lint.
Now, what
money.
Type of obstacles?
Was,
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means that
there have been black people that were exceptional, that were able to navigate when there were far more problems.
Of
where there were four
we
more difficulties. She was black and a woman.
If you learned your history,
but look, we have to realize they always gonna let a couple of us through. They always.
No one let. No one let her
they
through.
Always
she made
let
her way through.
Us through.
You know
they
what?
Nobody let her through.
Right. Renee, you got issues with race, and they might be partially founded, but I believe it's consumed your mind to the point where that's all you could think about. I bet you see race in everything, and that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate because it's gonna lessen the quality
it's
of your
life.
It's
not unfortunate. It's not unfortunate.
And
I don't
see.
Let me say this.
And a lot of us don't use our
products. Please. I don't see race in everything, but I see race where it's fitting. And
you
know that's the reality of where we live in. If you talk about someone like Madam C.J. Walker. Yes,
well,
she was an exceptional black woman. Yes, we have tons of exceptional black people, many of which are in prison right now. We have some geniuses.
I'm not talking about prison. I'm saying the ones that got a whole lot of dumbasses in prison too, but go ahead.
She still had to be permitted to get through. She still had to be.
Can I say something real quick? Because I stayed out of it. All right,
no. Hold on. Wait a minute. Damn it. Now, I told y'all. Can one person please finish, okay? Go ahead and finish what you got to say, Renee.
Okay. What I'm saying is she was exceptional. She did, you know, she came up with her own thing. But you cannot tell me, I think she was, what, one of the first black millionaires or black woman millionaires? You cannot tell me, especially in that time, that she was not permitted to go through. She still had to go through the system in order to gain that much money, even though she was making a product for black people, even though she was selling the product for our hair. And y'all
Renee,
are discounting
Renee,
this.
Renee, what kind of system we're in? We're in a capitalistic system.
And a white supremacist system.
Right, exactly. But capitalism rules over whites. It's white supremacy, but if there's a way to make a buck, what she made was products that people needed. And if she had to use the system however she used it, and something tells me most of the system was closed to her. Something tells me she probably made her own. She probably made her own manufacturing.
Hold on, she created her own way. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on for a minute, Beasley. Hold on. Because I think you missed a point there. Now, let me get it together here. Now, see. You know, when you said, you know, Renee, she just looks at it with the race. Okay. I do too, because there's no way you can actually be in the world today without looking at race. And even when I'm sitting here watching the tube, I'm looking at how they are disintegrating the black race, number one, but putting into your mind what how the family should be. You know, looking at TV right now, if you look at, say, 99% of the commercials, you would never see a black woman with a black man. It's always interracial. Always. You know, I know some people say, well, that's not a big thing. But
oh, hold on.
All is.
Right. Let me ask you this. Now, see, you're saying.
I'm talking now.
Let Mrs. Clark finish.
No. But I hear what he's saying. Now, you're saying that's being promoted. I'm saying what they're doing is they're just giving, they're showing example of what society really exists. There are interracial couples out there, millions of them.
But over
80% of black men married black women.
What agenda would it serve by showing interracial couples on television?
To destroy the black family.
But doesn't it also destroy the white family?
No, because they are still the dominant. They are still the majority. We are only 14%.
And you know what? That's where this whole this racial supremacist and this racial superiority thing, that's where it This is where it's faulty, okay? I think they're just showing.
Oh, you think so?
Definitely. Whether it's whites for long believing they're superior to blacks, or if it's blacks feeling that they're superior to whites or superior to anyone else. Because at the end of the day, yes, we all are human.
Come on with that.
There we go with
human.
That.
It's unfortunate that your mindset is the way that it is.
Yeah,
because
when you listen to the society, don't blame me about it. No. When you listen to the society, you spread on what they tell you because they tell you 13% of the population. Yeah. Do you know that for a fact? Or you just spread
it
and tell people that? No, it's not.
That's what
they tell you. Do you believe that just because they tell you? Do you know that they used to say the welfare queen was a black woman?
Maze and JC, let me ask you this. It's on this point. Do you think when you see an interracial couple in a commercial on television, do you think that's something that we're being programmed to do, or
no.
do you think that's just advertising?
The way society is going,
and they're advertising,
and they make money.
And society, I think so too. What do you think? What
Who's in a position of controlling the media? Who's in a position of controlling advertising? You don't have any say about anything, Renee. I feel sorry for you.
Can I say something, please?
Oh, my goodness. All right. Okay, you got the last word right now, JC. Go for it.
Okay, I'm trying to understand Renee in a way also, all right? Renee, do you shop at all African-American businesses?
Well, I don't know if to answer that question. Yeah, go ahead, Renee.
No, I don't. No,
don't?
I do not.
Okay, well,
nope.
Then you
because
are...
Because it's impossible.
But let me finish, please. So, therefore, you cannot talk about white supremacy because guess what? You help making them rich.
Oh, come on.
Why is it that every time someone says something, Renee, why is it that it has to be so outrageous to you? But when you say something, it's just like you want to subjugate everybody to your way of thinking, and when they don't agree, then you immediately attack mode. Yes,
I don't attack anyone. I have my own opinion, you have yours.
Do you not feel that you are helping them by making them richer? Are you buying things from them, yes or no?
Yes, I am. And yes, I am helping to make them richer.
But it's impossible to
shop at all black businesses for a life to live in the world. Okay, that's impossible.
Have you tried to go in the phone book and find those businesses?
Yes. I try to support black businesses wherever I can, whenever I can. But let's be real. Come on, let's be realistic.
I'm being as real as I can be. You're trying to make it seem as if everyone is not real, only you. You're trying to keep it so real that no one else is real.
But this is reality, JC. That's
the way you're presenting yourself, whether you like it or not. Like you said,
JC, this is reality.
Has opinion. You have yours. Everybody has theirs. You're not subjugate everybody to your way of thinking, and your way of thinking is kind of twisted.
How is it twisted?
Oh, really?
How is anything I said twisted?
All right, hold on. All right, we going to stop right there, Bubba, because I'm kind of a Renee. I don't think anything she said was twisted. She actually spoke a lot of sense, like the rest of y'all did. Y'all said what you had to say, you know, but I'm going to let y'all get your last word in. Please keep it short because we're running short on time, because I have to get my say in at the end of the day, because this has been one outstanding show. So we're going to start with the quiet one. Ebony, you up first. Talk to me.
Oh, Lord. Thank you. Okay, great show, Mr. Talk, I have to say. And I think, you know, I said it earlier that, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes we don't like some of the things in society that don't work for us. and maybe affirmative action. For some people it's worked, but clearly hasn't worked for some people. And I think we just have to look at it, you know, and keep questioning whether this is the right thing for our communities. And I'm talking about your community because it's obviously not something that's here. But I definitely understand why it came about, and I understand why people are so passionate about keeping it in place. But just because there is nothing else doesn't mean that we have to have what doesn't work for, you know, for the majority of people. But that's why we need to look at it, and that's why we have to keep questioning, and that's why it needs to still be a debate constantly so that we can effect change in the future that really works in the way, and nothing's perfect, but that will work more effectively for more of us. That's my final words.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, ma'am. And you got a show tomorrow?
Yeah, I got a show tomorrow. I haven't put it up yet because I've been listening to you, but I will put it up tonight. It's going to be called Are You a Booty Call?
I think I did a show like that a little while ago.
Did you?
Yeah, I made you in for that one.
All right. Alrighty. So it should be fun. Yeah, are you beautiful?
Yeah, it should.
All right.
All
okay.
right.
You gonna
talk? All right, Maze, you can talk now. Go for it.
Oh, it's time. Well, oh, yes, we always say that we have a choice to where we shop and spend our money. And you got black businesses that still around before when they was born. She can go to Gold Medal. She can go to CJ Walker. And then they got some new sisters that got hair products for her that she can keep them in business because they're doing well. And a lot of us stay away from those businesses and go to the other side. But we talk about the other side and just busy putting money in their pockets. So your money should have some sense. You take it and use it where it's going to help you and help your people. And you can share it with other people, but make sure yours is standing up too. But not in the mouth way. In a way that is benefit, and you can see it, and watch it grow in somebody else's pocket. And that's all I gotta say to young people that don't understand what's going on and think old people can't tell them anything. Have a good one.
All right.
Hello.
All right, let's see. I'm just scared, man, to go here. All right, JC, you up?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say this real quick. Hey, Mr. Talk, is it okay if I call people names in the chat room?
No, it's not okay you call people names in the chat room.
You know, if they call me another name, I'm going to cut you. I'm being nice. Okay, listen. Eric, I'm not attacking Renee no way, no how, because, like I say, I looked at her YouTube. I know what she's about, you know, pretty much, okay? Now, only thing I'm saying is, you know, she's pushing real hard. If she's passionate about something, that's fine. You know, I applaud her for that. You know, but you still have to look at the outside realm of things also. You know, everybody is not going to agree. Everybody's not just trying to attack you personally. That's not what I do. But like you said, everybody have their own opinion, and we're all going to express it. So we still have to, you know, respect each other for that. You know, we agree to disagree. That's all it is to it. And we still laugh about it. I do. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's it? Oh, shit. I'm going to sit back and got ready to hear the rest of it.
Oh, no, that's tomorrow. Right. I'm tired today.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, sir. All right, let's see. We're going to bring Beasley in. Mr. Beasley, where you be?
No, I've said plenty. Unfortunately, the whole black hair care market, any black-owned company has sold out to the Koreans. The Koreans control all of that and run all of that. I hope they paid a pretty penny for it, but they control weaves. They control all of that. There's also, you see liquor stores in the hood in Los Angeles where more than likely they're Korean-owned. There was a period where blacks owned liquor stores. It happened after the riots. They sold out to the Koreans, but Koreans have black people in front working, I guess, just so that you don't see them, and they sit in the back and count the money. I understand race is a real factor. I'm aware of it. You have to try not to let it stop you, and
race isn't involved in every single factor in every single thing. It's a major part, but it's not the only factor out there. And when you focus on this only factor, and a lot of people do this, what you do is you become a race junkie. And when you become a race junkie, you categorize everybody, and I don't know, it just seems to consume your thought. I don't know. I don't know of one happy race junkie. That's all.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you much. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
And then we have Miss Renee, the last but not least. Go for it, Miss Renee.
Okay. All right. What Beasley was just saying, you know, that's all well and good, but the reality of the matter is race is a big issue. I mean, it is something we deal with every single day. And he's saying not every situation is about race. Well, yeah, perhaps, but a whole hell of a lot of them. You know, I would say 85% or more is about race. And people talking about this, we're all human and all that kind of stuff, that is unrealistic. It is. You just talked about the Koreans in the back counting the money while the black people is in the front if they hire any, because there's a lot of them who will not hire any blacks while having businesses in the black community. They're sitting there using black people in order to get money. So you cannot say race is not a big thing. It is. And the reality of it is we do need affirmative action, even though it's still awful, but we still need it. This is not a level playing field, and I am not a race junkie. I am a realist, okay? Now, if you want to go about in life and not think that things are how they are, that things are put in place and this is not by design and all that, if you want to think that, that's fine. You talk about being happy. But see, that's the thing. A lot of times they push you into trying to believe this happiness because to take your eyes off of what's really going on. Black people are losing. We are continually losing, losing, losing. So what is to be so happy about when our community is failing miserably? When our community is being broken apart now, the black family, with homosexuality, with everything being pushed on us in the media, I mean, we have to be realistic about this. We have not progressed, and people keep wanting to make it as if we have. Things never change. Like I said yesterday, they only change form. That's it. Thank you.
All right. That's what I'm talking about right there. Thank you, Miss Renee. Much love to you, as always, and to everybody else on, you know, that participated on the line today. Once again, y'all made it happen. It wasn't me. It was y'all. Y'all made it happen. We had some very good points today. We really did. Now, does it really matter what side of the aisle you're on, whether you're for affirmative action? You never raised your hand, Rob. That's why I ain't open your line. If I don't know your hand up, I don't know you want to talk. All right, so if you still want to talk, you got about 2 minutes. Put your hand up. That's all I got to say. But it really doesn't matter what, I guess it does. You can be for affirmative action. You can be against affirmative action. That's your choice. But you got to ask yourself, and just like Renee said, you know, what progress are we making? You know, it's grand to see it there, but I can't see where it's really helping. Why do we even need it? Now, some say we don't need it. Some say we do. I guess it depends on how you look at it. But either way, passionate in what you believe in and be ready to stand up for what you believe. Just because you don't agree with anybody else doesn't mean they're wrong. You know, it doesn't. But that's just what I got to say. Let me bring Rob in real fast. I cut it short because Rob wanted to finally say something. Chef Rob, you got about 2 minutes. You better go fast.
Man, let me breathe. Hey, the things that Renee was saying was correct. You know, a lot of people made good points, but to deal with what she was saying and all of that, oh, we all human stuff, that's a trick. That's a trick to get you to go ahead. That's a trick to get you to go ahead and not see what's really going on. To go ahead and see mm-hmm. that this system was put in place today, this is built off something they started years ago. Let's not be fooled by this, oh, everything's equal. There's not a level playing field. Affirmative action was put in place basically by pressures from the black community. But they also saw that, hey, look, if we don't go ahead and put something in place, blacks going to go back to owning their own stuff and doing business with only blacks only, like they did one time when we had the Madam C.J. Walkers, when we had the Rosewoods, when we had the Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the other towns that were pretty much wiped out and decimated. So, you know, to go ahead and put this thing on affirmative action, whether it's good or bad, it's good. But still, we still need to stop going ahead and looking into this system to help us. And individuals going ahead and saying that, hey, look, we're trying to look for a handout. Uh-uh. Black people want to go ahead, most black people, a lot of people I know, even the ones that's getting food stamps on welfare, don't want to do that. They want to do something else for themselves. But if you paid into the system, you should be getting something out of it. I know a guy who lost his job, was making $100,000 a year, can't go ahead and get food stamps. Been unemployed for almost 5 years. Still can't get food stamps. So it's like this. He paid into this system for a lot of years, so why can't he get shit out of it? And it makes me mad when I go ahead and hear people say this nonsense, and it's like they forget where they come from. We got too many black folks who forget where they come from and what they saw getting to where they at. It's sad. It's really, really sad. And what Renee was saying, that this system has been put in place and built on years ago, and we need to recognize that, hey, what they have now is something they perfected off going ahead and keeping us oppressed and being in a system of white supremacy. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Rob. And see you tomorrow. All right. Well, I don't need to say any more. Between Renee, Mays, Beasley, J.C., and everybody else, wow, it's been a lot said, a lot to chew on, a lot to chew on. All right, well, we're going to get on out of here. Tomorrow's show will be interesting as well. I haven't decided the title yet, but you can guarantee it's going to be a good one. Once again, I want to thank everybody for listening and participating. It's been wonderful. Y'all made it happen today, and I'm so thankful. All right, so until tomorrow, y'all, 3 p.m., 2 Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Don't forget to keep smiling, show appreciation, to give with an open heart. And the biggest and most thing, learn to laugh at yourself. Because if you can laugh at yourself, hey, nothing too much is going to bother you. All right, y'all, until tomorrow, y'all have a good one. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mrs. Talk. Peace.
Bye-bye.